That's what she said.
Hey there, and welcome to episode 49 of the Crippled System Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Nathan, the wild dog, Rydia Van Hoffman.
Wow.
And I play Convergence of Cirrus and Piggy Pigs.
Wow.
I can't beat that, so I'm
Yeah, Brian, you're going to have to follow that. I can't follow that.
Bad horse on the forum.
You need a slide whistle for the whole morning DJ.
I play Circle.
That sounded like a gay elephant.
This is Jeremy, Valiant 418 on the forum, and I play Rhett and Legion.
This is Andy, I play whatever, and I drink rum chata.
Yes, I also drink rum chata.
Jim, this is Brian, I play Scorn and XCOM Enemy Within.
Yeah.
If you're not playing it, you're an idiot.
Good job, Commander.
If at any time in the last 25 years you haven't been playing XCOM, you've been wrong.
The new expansion.
Always been true.
The new expansion, like, the old game kicked my ass. The new expansion turns me around and kicks me in the balls on Classic Iron Man. Because they slowed down everything on Classic. Like, the tech is slower, that you build things slower. Like, oh, God, the aliens just overrun me and kill all of my peoples.
We have... I got a thing today.
We have a topic.
Topics.
How dare we?
Strategies.
We still have announcements.
Announcements.
This is the thing, though, is it's non-war machine.
Our big topic of the day.
And our listeners have not come to expect that. They expect nothing but war machine from start to finish from this podcast.
And so we have been asked that if it is a non-war machine podcast, we point it out in the beginning.
Who said that?
But I've been playing a lot of Scorn, and I wanted to give updates.
I want to hear about the 4,000 Citrati list or whatever.
Which is fine. It's just that the majority will not be war machine.
All right.
War machine.
Well, do we have announcements before our big topic?
Announcement. Andy's announcement.
Andy.
My announcement is that there's going to be another Who's the Boss coming up here December 14th, the Merry Mayhem. We are very limited in table space. Right now it's only 30 tables. Possibly it might go a little bit higher.
30 tables or 30 people? I heard 30 people.
30 people, sorry.
Because 30 tables would be way awesome.
Yes, 30 tables would be way awesome, but technically it's only 30 people. So get signed up quick. If you pre-register, you get to save $5. And, we've got some awesome things planned for it. Probably the biggest thing that we'll have is the time shift casters.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
So it'll be our throwback back to Mark I and our throwback for Privateer, 10th anniversary. Might as well bring everything into play.
Those of you like me that did not play Mark I, don't take chances on the Mark I casters because some of them that you'd think would be amazing are trash. And some of them that you'd think would be trash are kind of amazing.
Or it could just be for fun. But mostly you should take that $5 that you saved because you pre-registered like a boss and donate it.
Or purchase a double cross token and use that against Fat Asian.
Yes.
That's true.
He must never get to use a caster he spawned.
That is
ever.
True. Ever.
Or he enjoyed.
That is a Merry Mayhem tradition.
Yes. In fact, if he doesn't...
Something just occurred to Andy, and that's a little depressing.
I just thought of an interesting thing, and another one, is a proximity double cross.
I don't know what that means.
I don't know what that means.
That you could double cross somebody who's near you?
I would double cross people near me. That would be hilarious.
Like, if you're sitting down at a table, you're like, that person's got a caster I want.
I want that one.
Nope.
The challenge is some games start ahead of other games, so it gets hard.
Yeah,
that's true.
But making sure
your idea is flawed and you should feel bad.
Yeah, you're
well,
bad.
Well, we do sometimes start Death Clock on the same time. And for an event as quote-unquote small as this one, next one, we'll probably do that.
It is unfortunate. I wish we could have more people, but I understand the limitations.
It's possible we might be able to expand maybe up to 40.
That would be cool.
So, I mean, make sure you get on the list, get on the waiting list if you can.
Yeah, and there's more than just signing up on the PP forums for this one, if you haven't noticed. Andy or Brian posted the link, I forget which, but you do need to actually sign up at the
To make sure you pre-register. I mean, we could still take sign-ups, but otherwise...
Make sure you get your name in. You should sign up on the link there that's there.
Yes, correct.
And that's all right. Any other cool announcements?
Not that much. We just put out our awesome Cluster FF Palooza episode.
Yes,
you can swear on this podcast.
Yeah, we're not on Mom anymore.
No, I try not to.
Focus and Fury is the only one that hasn't put their section out yet.
Yeah.
Because Road to Wars just went up an hour ago. Yeah.
Consider it took them, they put out like two episodes in a row because they didn't edit episodes for like weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah, so No, yeah, Road to War just put out theirs. We have ours out. I still think ours is the best.
It's hilarious hearing how bad Jeremy's voice is on the Road to War one. He's like,
I haven't listened to it yet, but I'll bet it's really, really bad.
You sound because
I talked
fine,
a lot
dear.
On that one.
You sound like one of the aliens from Galaxy Quest.
I did sound like I was from Galaxy Quest.
You sound glorious.
Thank you, darling. I appreciate it, even if you are lying.
Like a god.
Okay. Damn it. That's an amazing ability.
Like, I walked right into that one.
Like a god with throat cancer.
Marlboro, the god of throat cancer.
Brian, what are you doing over there? Like fidgeting under the table.
I'm touching myself.
He's playing on his goddamn iPad.
Well, you're talking about nonsense. I'm bored.
We're not talking about nonsense.
My continued good luck last weekend. So I got home and I went to work on Tuesday because I took the Monday off. And I don't think I mentioned this. We recorded Tuesday. Did I mention that I went to work? And I asked, like, hey, what happened while I was gone? And he's like, yeah, your department won a contest. You got a free Kindle Fire HD.
What?
Wow.
That's awesome.
So that's in the mail.
Very nice.
Awesome.
That is a very good week.
What the fuck? I'm the only person at this table without some type of tablet.
You should get one.
Even my mom has one. I bought one for
I was going to say, his mother has one.
You can have this iPad
my
Air.
My mother has one, and my mother is the least technologically inclined person ever.
She's not part of this podcast, though.
I don't care. My mother
is she
has
as ugly
one.
As Katie's mom?
My words are being taken out of context right now.
They are not being taken out of context. Yes! They are right in context. And
success.
Damn it.
His mom is the one who asked me what kind of Bluetooth. And do you mean speakers like the earbuds or speakers like freestanding?
She asked both of those questions when I asked for speakers for my iPad.
So I'm just telling you.
And I'm just saying, this woman has an iPad, Andy, and you do not.
All right, then.
All right. No other announcements?
Apparently not. Apparently we can go on to our main topic of conversation.
I know that there is a Food Machine event in Chicago that is the week before our event.
That might be the least useful announcement we've ever made on this podcast. So there's an event in Chicago. I don't know where or when, but it's happening and it's related to Food Machine.
No, you're wrong. It may be happening.
It may be happening and it may be Food Machine related.
Nobody else has anything else to talk about, so I can't look this up and pretend.
No, we have no other announcements.
I want to say the Dice Dojo is having a Food Machine event the week before, so it'd be December 7th.
Okay.
It is
the second Saturday, and all their events are on the second Saturday, so it seems very
possible. That would make sense.
Hey, this is just the homework that we give our listeners.
Yeah.
Because
we don't want to spoil the fun. This is like the Da Vinci Code. You have this hint now. Hunt, figure it out. The clues are there.
Here's the thing, Brian. If we're just meandering around through a conversation, you're like, I'm bored. I want to do something else. How does that bode for the people who
listen to our podcast?
That's their problem.
They're probably playing on their iPads too.
Yeah.
Like Brian's he's our gauge to see what our listeners are doing.
Yeah. I was like, I lost interest completely.
This podcast sucks.
But now I have to wait a while for my thing to reset. I have to pay attention for at least 15 minutes.
Oh, you know what? You know what? I do have an announcement. I do have another announcement. There will be at the Shays, if you are in the Madison area, after Christmas party, that some of the people here might attend.
It's a Boxing Day party.
It's a Boxing Day party. Isn't that right, Brian?
Yes, I she made a Facebook announcement, and I selected maybe. I might be there.
Like he does for every announcement.
Here's the thing. As I messaged...
My fiance might be at War Machine Weekend, according to Jeremy.
You know what? I thought I'd heard that, all right?
Here's the thing. As I posted a thing on the podcast forum specifically, be like, when are you guys all available so I can make sure I plan it when you guys are available? And Brian was like, I'm available anytime, but I just don't want to go. He's an ass face. That's all right. At least
I've heard that before.
Bothered to respond. Andy's just
Andy didn't even respond.
What?
I want all of
us
to be at the Shea Sauce because we have some crazy listeners.
Dice Dojo,
I want to make sure they're all there. Especially Travis. He's a weirdo.
Travis is a maybe, actually. He really is.
Travis was telling me he was jealous of my meta, so I told him, I'm like, hey, you're a programmer. Apply to work at Epic. And he's like, no.
Nope. Yeah. Spoiler alert for those of you listening. Terrible decision.
He's too old to work at Epic.
Yeah, but Epic pays you too much, and you get to work at Hogwarts.
I don't actually, because I'm not on the main campus.
Yeah, but if you're a programmer,
I work behind the mall that is basically defunct.
So your owner is clinically insane, right? Like, she's not just quirky, she's batshit nuts.
That would be my... Now, admittedly, I don't spend large amounts of time with the woman, but yes, that would be my take on the situation.
Like, she's Hubert Farnsworth levels of insane.
Yes, she really is. Yeah.
When you have that much money, it's quirky.
I was going to say, it's more like... who's the guy with the
Howard Hughes. Hughes.
She's more like Howard Hughes because he was batshit crazy, but also richer than shit. And right. She has that going for her.
But she's not crazy like they're going to steal my toenails crazy. She's crazy.
She might be.
Like, yeah, I guess so.
I don't know.
She's making your offices into Hogwarts.
Yes.
Like the
hell? New building is going to literally be, the decorating scheme is going to be Hogwarts.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Yikes.
The building is not done being built yet.
So I was wrong about the Dice Dojos event.
I'm shocked.
Thank you for giving me time to be able to look this up. But it appears that they're, I don't know how they're going to do this, they're having it the December 21st.
Oh.
Right before
that will
Christmas.
Not be a large turnout.
I may not be there.
I think I'm going to try to go.
So if you're in the Chicago area and Jewish, feel free to attend the Dice Dojo's food machine.
Right?
Any of our Skokie listeners.
Jordan
will be in. Yep.
I had to ask. We were making some bad Jew comments about Jordan in front of Josh, and Josh is also Jewish. So I'm like, Josh, I just want to make sure. I want to apologize in case you're a good Jew. That we've been saying all these terrible Jew comments. He's like, no, I'm not that good of a Jew either. I'm like, okay, perfect.
Good. Excellent.
Jordan is the worst Jew.
He is the worst Jew ever.
But I don't want to, like, I don't want to be mean to someone when, like, there's, you know, I don't want to be,
I was trying
to be sensitive.
Because he gets me a Christmas present every year,
that's
which
true,
I appreciate. So.
Do you get him Hanukkah presents?
I get him Christmas presents.
Because he's an
horrible Jew. And his mom has a Christmas tree.
He's basically a Christian who, I was going to say a Christian who doesn't eat pork, but I guarantee he eats pork all the time. Like, he's that bad of a Jew.
Yeah, all the time.
Well, it's kind of good.
In fact, he had pork gumbo the last time I went to Qdoba with him.
I don't think he even, like, thinks about it as a thing.
If it's in a gumbo, it doesn't count as pork.
Which, you know, the thing is, to be fair, like, 90% of people who are born and identify as Christian are just as bad at being Christian.
Yeah.
It's just, for some reason, when you meet someone who's that bad at being Jewish, it's more noticeable.
Well, the thing with being Jewish is...
They have more rules and stuff.
There's a lot more rules, and so you notice. And also, because it's not just a religious thing, it's a racial thing. Like,
yeah,
it's more obvious to say you're a Jew. Well, you could just say, I'm not really a Christian.
Like, if enough Christians don't follow the rule, they just undo the rule. Like, you can eat meat on Fridays now. Just because they're like, everybody's eating meat on Fridays. It's cool. God says go ahead.
I just held in 64 terrible things to say. I almost passed out. I almost just, like, exploded in just terrible, awful things. And
I have a story about Christians eating meat on Friday. It's not that good of a story, but I can tell.
None of her stories are.
Qualifies for this podcast.
Yeah, it'll be perfect.
Here comes tablets. An accountant story.
Yeah.
It's not an accountant. It's the Polish story.
You're an accountant, and you're telling a story.
My grandma was Polish. During World War II, living in Poland. Shocking.
Okay.
And so they didn't have, like, any meat, right? And
I wouldn't know. I wasn't there.
In general, you should be aware of... So have you heard of World War II?
Yes.
It took place in and around Poland in various parts.
I did.
And Germany was rude to the native Polish people and didn't feed them well.
Here, let's put it this way.
This is the second World War, just to let you know. There
not
was
the first one.
There is one
not
before
the third
this
one,
as well.
The fourth one is the second
and they
one.
Don't mean it happened on the second world. Like, this, it wasn't like on Venus there was a war. There was a war on Earth that was really big. And they called it a world war. Because the whole world took part.
Okay, carry on.
Then it happened again.
This was not the war that Kennedy got assassinated.
This is the war, though, that my grandma got a brother that no one knows where he came from because my grandpa was, you know, deployed.
Well, there were some GIs in Poland that were bored.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. We don't know if she was raped or if she did it for food or, you know, well, this is getting depressing.
Let's not go
and
there.
We just went the wrong way.
Wow, Katie.
I just assumed that she had fun with a guy.
Wow.
No, I never asked her. No, because it was improper to ask her.
Oh, sure. Okay.
But anyway.
I was going to assume now I'm thinking terrible things.
Yeah. This is the worst story ever.
Okay. So anyway, they...
To be fair, when adultery was the least terrible option...
They immigrated when my grandma was 13 years old, and they were eating meat on Friday, and the priest was yelling at him, and so my great-grandma went and cussed him out and was like, I haven't had meat in, you know, so many years. If I have meat on Friday, or if I can have meat on Friday, I'm going to have meat on Friday. Anyway, that's probably why it died out.
Or that
your story died out.
Your story died out a while ago.
Oh, what a great story, Mark.
Somewhere around your grandma being raped for
food. Please, God, someone segue us into something else.
Wow.
Please, God.
Board games.
Yes.
Speaking of board games.
We have created ourselves a list of our top five favorite board games-ish. Not the top five. I mean, it's, I can't
five say notable games
that we really enjoy.
Each one of us has got our own list.
Correct. And most of us probably have five. I have an honorable mention I wanted to say before the five.
Brian cheated because there
I
were
think most five. Of mine are going to be mentioned by you guys, so yeah, right. I might have fewer than five, but I have a couple out there.
Well, I figured that'll make it go faster. That's the same as mine, or I had that one earlier.
And we can
so
discuss each one and why it's good and why it made the list, and we can each...
So I
don't know what you're pointing at, Andy.
I kind of broke mine down by genre of games. Most of my games were that would involve 4+ players and were different types of games. So okay. I one game I didn't put on my list was only a 2-player game because it didn't really fit any of the criteria. I put War of the Ring. I couldn't fit that in my top five because it's more of a...
Is that your honorable mention?
Yeah, War of the Ring. So it's a 2-player game. It's really great. I recommend it.
No, that's
also a 2-player
game. It's more like Risk.
Yeah.
It's
like War of the Ring.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a very unique.
It's a very thematic game where you're literally one person's a shadow player.
Oh, you know what
one
it's like? It's almost like a 2-player version of that Age of Conan game. The dice mechanic is from War of the Ring.
Okay.
Except in War of the Ring, each player has their own dice pool. You don't share it, but it's that same role, and that's dictating your actions.
Correct. But it's not one of my five because all my fives are more interactive games.
Okay.
That's just my little pre-list comment.
All right. Well, you might as well go.
Yeah, go ahead, Brian.
You got the floor.
Fine. Well, my first mention, I kind of took I went for worker placement because we play a lot of worker placement games, so it was really difficult for me to pick one that I thought was the more. If someone says you want to play any worker placement game, I'm probably going to enjoy it.
Right.
When we have seven, I'm not going to name all seven because you guys are going to mention.
It's a huge genre that we have.
It's very successful in our group. But the one that I felt was consistently more enjoyable, I actually went with Kalis.
Well, crossing that off my list.
Yeah. Well, you can still mention that.
I will. Kalis is probably my favorite. Well, it's my favorite worker placement game as well.
Yeah. Now, it's a hard. The reason I went with Kalis over Lords of Waterdeep, which is also a great game, Kalis doesn't have the element of luck that sometimes will just screw you out of a game. I can play games of Lords of Waterdeep where it's no quests come up I need. Yep. I get hit with 8 intrigue cards. I have no ability. Where Kalis is more skill based. It's more dry, so sometimes it's not as it's exciting. And Waterdeep is usually kind of a fun 45 minutes hour all the time, but Kalis really just feels like a more strategy, more depth game. You can have multiple strategies going into the game, how to win, and I just find that very compelling. So that's kind of my worker placement suggestion of a game is Kalis, because I really enjoy the element and the strategy and the depth and the any game that has multiple paths to victory is always going to be at the top of my list.
Yes.
How do we want to do this? Because we can all talk about our worker placement games.
If we wanted, yeah.
No, because I didn't categorize the same way you guys did. So I think one person's going to have to go all the way through their list for tonight.
Yeah, but if you're the only one who categorized retardedly, then you should.
Well, let's just go.
I think categories. No categories.
We can all go around and say a game.
Okay. Yeah.
We'll go around.
All right.
So because Brian doesn't want to talk for 15 minutes about his games.
So I'm tempted. I'm tempted to save this one for last because my big thing with it is that it's not on Katie's list and it should be on Katie's list. But I don't want to risk her figuring out what it was and then adding it to her list.
Can I say it?
Hey, Jeremy, what's that game that Katie really loves and always wants to play whenever it's available?
Rah!
Right. So, no, Katie, you don't get to say that
because
it's not on your list.
I can't believe I missed it.
I can't believe you missed it either. Ra is an incredibly fun auction game.
Unless you're me or Brian or Jim.
It's not on my list for a reason. I like it, but it didn't make my list. I'm just saying.
So there's a couple things. The big mechanic in Ra that makes it interesting. So there's a lot in the middle, and on your turn you either add an item to the lot or you call an auction, and then the auction's once around the table, bid or pass. And the interesting thing in Ra that I think is unique to it versus any other auction game I've ever played is that your money, you can't take change. If you have a 20 and you bid for that auction, you're bidding 20. You can't bid 12 and take 8 back. So it isn't always who has the most money. You can be incredibly strategic. I've had games where I went in the last round with the 1, the 2, and the 3. I had the worst possible monetary thing, and I annihilated my opponents because I kept putting up auctions that if they bid for it and their smallest was a 14, they're way overbidding for this thing, whereas I bid 1, I'm getting it for a steal.
Yeah.
And you really just put the thumbscrews to people. I also have two raw anecdotes, one that happened to me and one that didn't. So
one's true, one's false.
Yes, they're both true. Right. One is this guy and his wife were playing Ra, just playing a two player, and when you call an auction, you need to scream to the god Ra. So that's a loud game. And so their downstairs neighbors came up to complain because they were being so loud. Flash forward 10 minutes later, they were playing a four-player game of Ra. So that's cool. And then my anecdote was Board Game Geek a few years ago had a survey. And the very first question is, what's your favorite board game?
Right.
And I thought for a long time, because at the time I was even more hardcore into Ra, and I'm like, I think it's Ra. It might be Ra. And like, for 10 minutes, I'm like, do I put Ra down? And I finally put something else down. And then the next question was, what's your favorite Reiner Knizia game? And I forgot that Ra was even an option. And I, it's my favorite game. And then it's asked, like, it's like, what's your favorite book? The Shining. What's your favorite Stephen King book? I don't know.
Oh, no.
So that's how dumb I am. So there's my
true
game, Ra.
It is a good game.
From the worker placement one, I was having trouble deciding between Lords of Waterdeep and Terra Mystica, but I decided I like Lords of Waterdeep better. Just because you like Kalos better because it doesn't have that Scrooge in there, and I like Lords of Waterdeep better just because there is more of a player interaction.
I like the Scrooge, it's just when the questings don't line up. It gets frustrating in that regard.
It does get frustrating.
I mean, I played 50 games of it, and I still
play
more.
For better or for worse, Kalos is completely luckless and dry. And sometimes that's good, sometimes that's bad.
Yeah, I do like the little element of luck. I like the element of you have to try and convince the other players of a lot of things. Jeremy's strategy is always to just declare he's losing even if he has the most points.
That's not true.
Jeremy's strategy is to he basically tries to save all. He doesn't try to cash a quest into turn six on. So the first five turns, he just amasses this insane quantity of resources, which is fine. But the part that bugs me about his strategy is then he complains about losing. Like, if you want to gather all the resources and play it the last three turns, whatever, that makes no sense to me, but that's a strategy, go for it. But then don't complain about losing when you know you're not losing because you're sitting on 3 20-point quests and enough resources to complete 10 of them.
Yeah, if you're backloading your victory points, that everyone's aware of that, shut your hole.
Yeah.
To be fair, Brian will be physically in the lead for points and will try to tell us all how he's losing and he's not winning.
Well,
at all.
If he can see, it depends. Well, if everyone knows that you're 40 points behind but you're about to get 50 points, you're winning by 10 points.
But he'll try to convince you he's losing to everyone at the
table. Like my first game of Terra Mystica, that race I had got all their points at the very end from the religious tracks.
Yeah.
And I was 40 points back, but we all knew I was about to score 60 points, right. So I didn't boo hoo.
Yeah.
We all play a little bit of, oh, yeah, no, I'm not the one in the lead. Don't worry about me. But you do it so much, it almost makes games unenjoyable sometimes.
When I play these board games lately on my iPad, I'm like, man, I played 5 board games in a row and not one computer component complained once. This is the greatest thing in the world.
I hate you guys.
It's like, oh, it's so peaceful.
But I do like that player Scrooge aspect of the game in it. And then also, because there are other ways to score points, like buying buildings that no one else has built or, you know, whatever.
Well, with the expansion, it was so hard for me to make that choice because the expansion makes Waterdeep so much more enjoyable.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Yeah, I like games with the element of randomness. It just makes it so there's a little bit more replayability instead of knowing specifically what strategy you have to do.
Well, and that's why I like – I mean, that's true.
If that was 100% true, chess wouldn't exist.
Yeah.
Right.
But, I mean, I agree with Andy. To some degree, I don't like chess because of that. But I like Kalos because there's multiple paths. I mean, there are games that have no luck and they're dry. And there's really only one way to do it. Those are dumb games.
Right. Well, and that's why I was having a hard time between Terra Mystica, because there are so many paths to victory in Terra Mystica that it's very, very fun.
Yeah, I don't consider that a worker placement game, though, but that's...
Well, whatever, but...
And that was what I was saying. Like, each of us have our different categories, yeah.
That's all good.
Yeah, I mean, for Kalos, I had to give it another shot, because the one time I tried it was the terrible time that you yelled at Jeremy for, like, 2 hours
for winning the game.
And it was, like...
I almost passed out in rage.
After we had got home from Gen Con and played, like, 20 hours of board games. And
yeah, I played over 10 times now. So, I mean, you've only played it once, so...
So, I need to give another shot. Times, so. Anyway, that's one of mine.
So, I did my categories a little different, like Katie said. I didn't do so much worker placement as I did, like, quicker, faster games, and then longer games were two of my categories. And Lords of Waterdeep was my quicker, faster game choice by far. And then, for the longer games, in kind of a similar vein, I chose Terra Mystica, because it is really fun. It does have a lot of similarities with Lords of Waterdeep, but whereas I feel like you can sit down and play a quick game of Lords of Waterdeep, and you don't even necessarily need the same level of attention, Terra Mystica requires a lot more thought, there's a lot more going on, and it takes longer. So
I'm chuckling at your definition of a longer game, because I have a longer game on here that I was going to call it as one of mine, and it takes like 18 hours to play.
Well, yeah, I mean, two of the other ones in that category.
You're not going to cause a rage with our fans, are you? You're not going to say the game I think you're going to
say. I'm not going to say. I am right up front saying, TI3 is not on my list. It's not on the list.
I almost,
although I do like it.
Axis and Allies and Eclipse were both in the running until Terra Mystica won out that category for me. So, like, I did have much longer games on there. But in the end, I was like, at the moment, in that category, if I were going to sit down and play a game for several hours, like, admittedly, it's multiple playthroughs of Terra Mystica, but Terra Mystica would be my choice.
Sure.
So, that was my first one in that category.
Was Andy got
Andy.
I honestly did not realize that we were doing categories.
Well, it's just five favorites. Only two of us are doing categories.
Mine are
completely random.
Yeah, that's what I thought so too, because I just double checked our thread.
Well, it was just that I had so many, I had to have some way to weed something out.
That's how I weeded things out too.
I started with 18, so I had to have some way to like make
things. Oh, I just randomly wrote down the list.
And I randomly thought of some that occurred to me. I guarantee that I'm missing like really amazing games.
Like Ra.
All right, Andy, what's your first one?
My first game is Sentinels of the Multiverse.
Ooh, good game. I have trouble with that one sometimes, but it is very fun.
I don't like the folks that kind of game the system, and like they know what, you know, okay, this is the villain, okay, now we got to take this super team and go take on that villain,
right? They
specifically do that. Yeah. I don't like that, and I don't like being told that as well. I like finding it out for myself, but yeah. I love that game because of that fact, the fact that you can just do just a random villain, random environment, you choose your heroes and you just go see if you can beat the villain.
Really, a good way around that is to choose your heroes first.
Yes.
So that you can't completely custom your group to annihilate the villain.
True.
So if you all just take it, oh, I want to be Hawkeye, I want to be this person, I want to be that person, oh, this person looks cool, and then you pick a random villain in the location.
I know there's some iOS devices, too, that allow you to, or some apps that allow you to randomize everything.
Yeah.
Sure.
That works out pretty well, too.
Yeah, it's a fun game. I would say the only problem I have with Sentinels is when you get up to the max, towards the max number of players it allows, I don't enjoy it as much at that number of players. It takes too long in between turns. It feels like the game takes
every
forever.
Game is a sweet spot.
Yeah.
And I think the sweet spot for Sentinels is smaller.
I think it's four players.
Four players is fine. Because like Lords is four players is fantastic. Anything above that, the game starts like you can't.
Lords
do
at five.
Anything.
I think Lords is fine at five.
Five experienced players is five. I think.
Yeah. Six is rough. Yeah.
Someone's gonna get screwed.
Yeah.
At six.
I just had a raw moment and remembered a game I forgot to write down. So I just added it to my list.
But yeah, I would agree. Sentinels of the Multiverse. And like the art on the cards is really cool. I like that about that game. It's a very fun game.
Yeah, I like how easily it is able to make expansions as well.
Yep.
All you have to do is just add on another villain and add more heroes.
Yep. Plus, if you enjoy sleeving things, it's hours of fun.
Yes. Oh my God. And Vengeance is coming out soon, so I can't wait for that. Nice. Vengeance is actually interesting. I didn't realize it. It's got villains that have their own card decks.
Interesting. Like their own environment?
It's basically like taking on another group of superheroes.
Oh.
But it's all super villains.
Weird. That's kind of cool.
Nice. Well, I kind of picked my favorite overall Euro game right now, and it is basically Terra Mystica as well. I mean, I played eight games of that in the last 2 weeks. And
we played the crap out of it.
It's another game where it's not as dry as Kalos because there's like all these different races you play. The map is more dynamic, but it's the most multiple path to victory game that I've currently played in a long time. That just really appeals to me. And you can get it played in everyone wants to play 4 to 5 players, 2 hours. Get a good game in.
Yep, I would agree.
Well, I won't say much. I mean,
the cool thing about Terra Mystica, and I will say this, is if you go to Board Game Geek, it'll be like, these races are bad, these races are good. And we had a bunch of the races that people listed as bad just crush face, and a bunch of the races that people listed as good at just do nothing. Like, the thing is, some skill level, that may be true. Yeah. But at least at the level of play where we are, every race appears viable.
No, I will say this. There are the Fakirs are strictly worse than the Dwarves.
Yes.
They are,
but I still won with the Fakirs.
Okay, but I mean, the point is, the fact that there are two races that are almost identical, and one is just flat
one's
out blatantly better than the other.
Well, one's yellow, one's...
No, yeah, but there are two different colors, but their shtick is almost identical. The Dwarven shtick is it gets cheaper, the Fakir shtick is you get to go further.
I mean, the other thing is it probably depends on who you're playing with.
Instead of workers.
Who you're playing with and what their play style is and who else is, what other races
are
being
played.
The
thing is, you pick your character race when you play the game. So it's not like if you think the Fakir are the worst, you never have to play them.
Right,
because
no. I'm not saying like this game's bad because that's a flaw. I'm just saying that, you know, there is some truth to the
yes.
Any well, game where races are like I'm the same. I love Dune, and there's six different races, and they're not all the same strength. No, I mean, anything with unbalanced races, it's a possible thing to have happen. It's just
and
a fact.
Some of the unbalanced, I was even made this, and there. I think it's close enough that it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And when you have 14 choices, you're going to have some variance.
And I will say one thing is. The Fickers should just never be played because the flip side of that card is the Nomads, who are brokenly amazing.
That is true.
Like, you should – like, if I bought the game, I would be tempted to just put cardboard over the other side of that card because I'm never, ever playing the Fickers.
Yeah, I would actually I even though I'm the one who just said it, I would want to experiment some because if you look at all the numerical values in the game, like how much power you have to spend for a priest versus how much power you spend, the game thinks that three workers and a priest are roughly comparable.
It does.
Which means that if that is true, the dwarves and the fakirs are roughly comparable. I'm just
except
not
it doesn't
sure how,
feel that way when we
play.
It
that way, priest felt way more valuable. But like one game, Brian was just rolling in priests. He didn't know what to do with them.
So. Yeah, I have had that problem before, too.
So, if you could set it up like that, then the fakirs would be amazing.
Yes.
I've also noticed when I'm rolling with priests, you pretty much are in good shape in that game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think part of it is we, as a play group, are not valuing priests early, and so we're not playing our temples early.
Well,
which is probably more than people want to hear about this game.
Like a couple of those races, you have to get up to either your big building or a temple really, really quickly.
Right.
And you have to do it in, like, the first or second round. And I know the first time we played, we waited until, like, the third round or something. It was really late in the game.
Yeah, like, the first game I played, I remember, I built my citadel, like, I think the first turn.
Yeah.
And I think it was literally on my first turn because I'm like, this feels right. And you were all like, whoa, that's way too early. And it turned out that it was the right thing to do.
And that's one of the advantages of the Fakirs is they don't really care about their strongholds. They can go priests early.
Yeah.
That is an advantage to them.
The long and short of this conversation that obviously there's millions of strategies yet to be. And that's
which is
Ryan
why
is
I love Terramystica so much.
It's such a
like, we could play
my
this
brain
game
just has
times.
It's just a constant orgasm of strategies.
Yeah.
So that's my. So we can go to Nathan's second game?
I am going to go. Since Jeremy mentioned Axis and Allies, I'm going to do a twofer right here. History lesson. When Axis and Allies came out, originally it was part of a trilogy called the Game Master series. Mm-hmm. And I am going to mention the other two games in the Game Master series because I love both of them. Actually, I love Axis and Allies, and it's my third favorite of those games. Second in the running of those is Samurai Swords, which I'm not going to go into long. It was originally released as Shogun, then it was re-released as Samurai Swords, and it just came out again a couple years ago called Ikaruga or something like that. Ikurga, I think. You can double check, but that's what it's currently called. It's Risk, except better in every way, shape, and form.
Right.
It's the provinces you get randomly, you get your reinforcements, you attack, you roll the dice, and this, that. It's like that, but better in every way. So if you like Risk-style game, it's polished and beautiful.
Do not play with Jim.
Do not play with Jim.
Yeah, because I'll see your other game.
One battle will go badly, and Jim will say the game is awful. And then so
Jim is never like that. I don't understand.
So you mean just like in War Machine?
But edging it out, my top as far as straight war games with rolling fistfuls of dice and attacking with units is one that I've mentioned before, is Fortress America.
Yes.
Fortress America is fucking amazing. And it was also re-released last year, maybe 2 years ago now. It was released relatively recently, so it's not a weird – it's an older – if I'd recommend this 4 years ago, you would have had to spend $200 on eBay to get it. Now you can spend $50 at your local game store.
Not 200.
No,
100. No, it was about $60.
It wasn't that low.
It was. Mm-hmm. It was. Yeah, I was looking at it too. That's an old GW, I think, game.
No, it was
maybe not. Maybe
Milton Bradley.
I might be thinking of.
You're probably thinking of something else.
Yeah.
But anyway, Fortress America is great. It's one player versus a team of up to three players. Yeah. So you can play it two player if you want it. It works great there. Otherwise, you can play four players. I would not recommend playing three players because then one of the people on the other team has to play two. Whatever. The point is either two or four players, it's my favorite war game.
The first time I played it, I played as the one person versus the other people. Turns out when one person knows how to play, that person should play America.
Yes. And the rules even flat out say
Thank
that.
You, Brian, for that.
I was in a mood that day.
You're so an ass.
Who did you end up playing as?
Me and Katie took the other side.
Yeah, it was him and Katie versus an inept America. Yeah. I got destroyed.
I'd imagine so. Did you let red break through on the eastern seaboard?
Both seaboards broke through immediately.
Well, the west coast starts broken through. Like, that's literally just yellow running as quickly as they can towards the Midwest before they run out of people.
Yeah, I got destroyed. Brian's an ass is the moral of that story.
That's actually one thing I really like about the game is that it's three different fronts play like three different games. Mm-hmm. Like the Western Front, Asia, just there's no resistance. Like they just steamroll over America, and America just has to throw speed bumps at them to slow them down while the literal distance is what kills them, kind of like invading Russia in the various world wars. And the Eastern Front, if the Russians go more than one space forward, it is a triumphant success. It's like World War One trench there, where just millions of people die to make 30 feet safe for democracy. And so it's several different flavors of war game at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I got broken through on all three fronts, like, by turn two.
Yeah, that's bad.
It was terrible.
It's really bad.
It was really bad.
That makes me happy.
Katie? I don't remember that game at all.
I do.
So this isn't really... I'm going to say Fortune and Glory for my next one. It's an amazing game. It's semi-cooperative, semi-non-cooperative.
It can be fully cooperative.
It can be fully cooperative.
Flying Frog, I thought my Flying Frog made it. You choose. Do you want to play competitive, cooperative, or competitive, cooperative?
Yes.
Competitive, cooperative, a weird phrase, just means team.
Yeah.
Like whenever we play Flying Frog games, Brian calls them competitive, cooperative, and I'm like, you mean team?
No, it's cooperative in regards that competitive.
I guess
it is
teams versus the game still.
Yeah, because
whichever team beats the game. Yeah.
Correct.
I gotcha.
And it's a lot of fun, and we always have a lot of fun with it. One thing that our group has really struggled with this game is no one's willing to take the bullet to make sure that the game doesn't win. And so we usually end up losing to the game when we play two teams against the game.
Not infrequently.
Not infrequently.
Or your Kung Fu Asian can't, like, walk down the street without tripping. That's what happened last game I played. It's like this, like, 90 agility thing. It's just like, open the door, whamp, and she just, like, brained herself with the doorknob.
But you get Shanghai'd, like, twice that game.
Oh, my God. Such dice luck. I was the worst ninja ever. No, I wasn't a ninja. I think you were the ninja. I was the reporter girl with the car. It was the similar thing. Like,
either way,
my shtick was the car, and I just, like, killed myself trying to turn the ignition.
But it's a really fun game. It's really, I think it's just interesting, like, the different things that can happen. And
it's like 1930s, like Indiana Jones style.
Yeah, it's Indiana Jones, they just didn't get the license.
I like everything about it. There isn't anything
it's
I don't like about
the Rocketeer.
This
you have Nazis with a Zeppelin. You it have the mobsters.
Yeah. Except then you're Indiana Jones going to temples, which wasn't in The Rocketeer.
Ah, take that, Nathan. There's
Jennifer
temples.
Connelly.
Jennifer Connelly.
I remember that movie so fondly because of her.
BRB, masturbating.
Is she the blonde?
No.
She's Jennifer
Connelly.
She's
a beautiful boobs.
I have no idea what she looks like.
Her boobs.
Brian's never seen her face.
Have you seen
Labyrinth?
No.
She would not have seen Labyrinth.
What?
Labyrinth. She might not have seen Rocketeer, to be honest.
I've never seen Rocketeer.
Have you seen House of Sand and... No, you have never
Seen the House of Sand and Fog. Oh, my God.
Requiem for a Dream, probably not. You've seen Requiem for
she
a Dream?
Has seen Requiem.
Oh, yeah.
Of all the Jennifer Connelly movies possible, the one you've seen is Requiem for a Dream.
Yeah. I used to date a guy who's into movies like that.
Depressing, horrible movies that want you to eat a gun, or movies with drug addicts who go ass to ass?
A little bit of both.
Little A,
little B.
One Requiem for a Dream, you know.
I know who she is.
Yeah, yeah. That's the movie where she's least beautiful because she's ravaged by drugs.
She is awfully gorgeous in most of her movies.
Jeremy, do you have a game?
I was going to let her.
Oh, Fortune and Glory.
I've also seen Blood Diamond.
Are you done with Fortune? Your movie watching is so eclectic. Are you done with Fortune and Glory?
How have you not seen fucking Labyrinth?
I don't know. Anyway, so I just really like it. It's a really fun game.
You have
to donate like 4 hours of your time to it. But
yes, it is an in-depth game.
Do you think David Bowie is... Yeah, you got a thing for David Bowie at all?
Who's
Dave? Do it for you? Oh my God, do not... I'm going to pretend I did not hear the first two syllables.
He's the leader of he's in charge of the Guild of Calamitous Intent.
Who's?
Yeah, that happened. All right, moving on.
Who's your mother? That was what my question is.
I'm going
to
move on.
When Frank Sinatra died, I mentioned it to one of my buddies, and he's like, hey, was he that guy who was in all those movies? That was his definition of Frank Sinatra.
I know who Frank Sinatra is.
Okay.
That's good. All right, so in the co-op sort of category, if you want to call it that, my two top choices were Fortune and Glory and Zombicide. I actually went with Zombicide. It is an amazing game. Again, you need multiple... I think... Playing one game of Zombicide is the wrong way to play it because it takes enough time to get it out and set it up and all of that that you should play a couple of missions back-to-back at least, which means you're dedicating 4 or 5 hours, like, quite frankly.
You say on Saturday we're playing some Zombicide.
Yeah, we're going to play Zombicide this Saturday, not we're going to play Zombicide and then another game. Yeah. But Zombicide's amazing. It's fully co-op, although I suppose you could turn it into not co-op. You'll all lose. But it's co-op game, and it's amazing. It's really well done.
As with any co-op game, you can grief if you want to. Right. But that's not in the parameters. Like, when I played Left 4 Dead, I was always co-op until somebody was an asshole, and then I griefed the shit out of them.
Right.
The next, you get to the exit, and you hold the door closed.
The next series of Zombicide coming out this year is going to have some competitive elements to it. I'm probably not going to pick it up, because we need to play a good...
We need to play what you have already.
We need
to play
a lot of Suffers.
Yeah. Yeah. And Zombicide, that was the other thing I was going to say about it, is it has so many expansions that are out right now.
But even the base is so good.
Even the base is really good. But the new kinds of zombies, the new heroes, it cracks me up. Like, every time you sit down and you flip through the hero deck and you're like, this hero is based on so-and-so. Like, Sheldon from Big Bang Theory is one of the people you can play as. Like, that's hilarious to me.
Steven Seagal.
Yeah, Fat Steven Seagal.
You can play as Emma Stone.
Yep, you can play as Emma Stone. You can play as, what's his name from The Transporter?
El Cholo.
Yep, El Cholo.
El Cholo.
El Cholo is pretty amazing.
May or may not be Robert Rodriguez.
But anyway, amazing game, and I love the crap out of it. I want to play it more than we have. And we've played it a lot, so that's saying something.
Andy?
You're off to me now.
Yes. Okay. I guess. You've had plenty of time to think of one.
No, I've got to listen for an Andy. Gotcha. Mine is one that we have not tooted on this podcast ever before.
Well, let's do it.
I really like, and we never play it, I don't know why, we always have five players, Fury of Dracula.
I am always down for Fury of Dracula. I do like that game.
Now that we know how to play it properly.
Yeah. Oh, you're welcome for that.
Yeah. No, it's basically a one player versus four. Other four are playing as vampire hunters. You're playing, one person's playing Dracula. And Dracula is basically traveling all around Europe and Eastern Europe trying to get away. Basically trying to plant up little hives and such so they can have vampires spawn, and he gets a ton of victory points for that. And the whole idea for a vampire hunter is actually to, you know, kill Dracula.
And his movement secret is the big mechanic, is that they need to figure out where he is on the board.
Quote unquote secret, because newspaper reports come for 5 minutes.
Fuck newspaper reports. One tip is you should never allow newspaper reports in the first like couple turns of the game. Yeah. So Dracula actually has a chance to get away in a sense.
I played that game a couple of times. I really enjoyed it both times I played it. The first time I played it, Dracula just straight up won, because the only person that had played before was Nate, and he was playing Dracula.
Yeah.
And the rest of us were just, like, ineptly fumbling around the map, not knowing what we were doing, and so Dracula won, obviously. But it's still a really fun game.
For anybody who has played that before, there's two other games that are very, very, very similar. Older than Fury of Dracula, and it's more dry. It doesn't have, like, the action cards or everything. There's one called Scotland Yard, where Mr. X is fleeing around London, and the Scotland Yard's trying to find him. And that one's, the interesting mechanic there is that Mr. X, the way he reveals information is he travels via either bus, taxi, or underground. And so you can figure out where he possibly could be, because there's only stations in certain locations. And when the detectives travel, they actually give their tickets to him. So, like, you can just never take a bus, and eventually he'll run out of bus tickets, and there's strategy there. And the other one that's a little more similar to Fury of Dracula with action cards, it's a little more obscure, is Garibaldi, which is based on Garibaldi fleeing from the Austrian police, which I'm sure zero people out there except for, like, one historian even know what the hell I'm talking about. The nerds listening heard Garibaldi and thought of Babylon 5, but Garibaldi, if you played Fear of Dracula, that's basically the same game, but based on a real historical event. And it's hilarious, because, like, the guy who designed it apparently knew way too much about what happened, because, like, they actually were like, 8:07 a.m. on Saturday, Garibaldi's horse trips over a nettle patch. And then, like, you look at the instruction, he's got all the information about where he did research to figure out that his horse tripped on a nettle patch, and it's like, oh my god, buddy, you're obsessed.
What year did those come out?
Garibaldi's relatively recently. It's within the last five, six years. Scotland Yard is, like, from the early 80s.
That's basically where Fury of Dracula is, from the early 80s.
Yeah, the original Fury of Dracula, because the current Fury of Dracula is a little different than the original one.
Yeah.
But it's basically the same thing. But Scotland Yard, actually, the original Fury of Dracula might be older, but it was more niche. Scotland Yard was, like, in Toys R Us's. Like,
sure.
But those are, if you're somebody who's already played Fury of Dracula, you're like, oh yeah, they're right, that game's good, you should check out these other two games too.
Yeah, Fury of Dracula's pretty awesome.
Very cool.
All right. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna go with kind of a group interaction thing. Like, my favorite game as far as a strategy with group interaction is, I'm gonna go with Battlestar Galactica.
Damn it!
I also went to that. I skipped to that because I knew there were other lists, so I immediately went to the bottom of my list just to do that. But it's such a great game because it's, you know, it's kind of teams. But, you know, I can't imagine anyone that hasn't played
teams in the middle. That's what's so fun about it.
Well,
quick because, you know, you don't know when.
Yeah, fun, in parentheses.
And I also...
Keith enjoys that aspect of the game.
No. That was... I'll let Brian do his thing, and then I'm going to remind of my most recent game of that.
I think I've played... We've only played it a couple times in the last year, but I've probably got a good 20-plus games of Battlestar. And the fact that, you know, with some people being human, some being Cylon, and the game being very automated, as, you know, each turn, certain things happen no matter what. And I love elements of all the expansions. I mean, when we play, I probably use one element of each expansion, but I also ignore one element of each expansion. So you really... And I like the game because you can... Your play group can be, I like this and don't like this, and that you play with what works for you. And someone can be, oh, I hate this particular thing. Well, you don't need to use it.
So don't play with it, yeah.
Like, we never use New Caprica.
Yeah, we don't use New Caprica.
Our play group.
But we like having the Pegasus ship.
Yes.
I mean, actually, with everything that's been done in the expansions, all we do from the expansion is we use a Pegasus board and we use some of the added cards. But, like, the rest of it, we don't really use that much of. But each game, each expansion adds that little element.
The hidden team mechanic. You know, which is in other things like Shadows Over Camelot and things like that. It's really the driving force, and it's very thematic too.
The game takes it seems to take about 3 hours for us. 3 hours is a pretty consistent time frame of that game. If we played it more, it might be a little bit faster, but it's a solid 3 hours with probably a good 15-minute pre, 15-minute teardown. So it's almost 3.5 really if you take the whole thing into it. But
right now, I'm mad at that game.
It's so much fun. I mean,
why are you mad?
I went on a 20-game streak stretch where the Cylons won like 20 games in a row, and now we've had like a couple human wins. It's been pretty exciting.
Well, yeah, really the Cylons win.
Although me and Katie did have the Cylon victory finally brought back, but we've actually had three out of the last four games have been human victories, which is weird for us.
Yeah, that was great.
The only thing I will say that I hate about games like that is I'm a terrible liar. It's fine if Jeremy's not playing the game, but it's terrible if Jeremy's also playing the game because you can pretty much tell.
I can pretty much tell right away.
The last game I played, I was human for the first half, and then we got to the distance where it was, you know, deal out your second loyalty cards. So I end my turn. I get us to the halfway point. Brian hands me a card that says, you're a Cylon. Then Brian goes next and wins it for the humans.
Yeah.
That's how quickly I got fucked over by
we
that
We were
game.
At... it was such a ridiculous chain of events.
Because
I think we hit five.
You hit five. That was
and
one
then
of the triggers
I
the new
flipped. Then I did my once. I took Kane, who's very overpowered. I think they come. We don't use her often because she's really good. But she has a thing where you just slip over a travel. You instantly travel. You lose some ships, and none of the ships we lost were bad.
Yep.
And I happened to flip over like a three distance with
no
Reaper cut.
Boom.
So we got to eight, and then it was like, and then it was basically we needed to get three spaces, and then it was human jump.
Yeah.
So the Cylons never got another move. It just was all the way over,
and all three had jump symbols.
Yes,
all
they sure did.
It was ridiculous.
Was this the one I was in?
Yes.
Yeah, it was.
Did I win that?
Brian handed me "You lose now" as a card.
It was pretty. I've never seen
it. If
it's
any consolation, I had been a Cylon and I was like slow playing it, and then I just watched it all fall apart on a certain.
And there's not playing.
No, I was. I actively tanked several votes. Like,
yeah, what it was a thing would come up, and the humans were all like, "So there's no way we're passing this. We're all going to just let this fail, right, guys?" And they're all like, "Yeah, let's let this fail." And then Jeremy's like, "I'm going to tank this."
That is not what I did.
I don't remember every single vote that I wanted to pass.
Everyone
the human
we
passed.
Lost, yeah. Everyone we lost, we wanted to lose.
Yeah,
yeah. That was awesome.
But things went very well for the humans.
So Battlestar is my pick. I love it.
That's God damn it! That's like one of the three I have in my.
Yeah,
list.
And I mean, I had Fortune and Glory, so I can't talk about that because that was an earlier one. So I only have one game left.
All right, I'm going to skip two of mine and give other people a chance to say them. And I'm going to jump to a more obscure one that nobody's going to say. This is my 18-hour long game, Civilization. Not a more recent one, nothing based on the Sid Meier game, but back from like late 70s, early 80s, there was a massive game with board expansion and civilization building, and it's a big trading game, and there was also an expansion that came out, Advanced Civilization, that just expanded it. The game is amazing if you have six or seven people who are willing to devote 18 hours to playing. I mean, you're devoting a day to playing this game, and it's not. The game does take that long, and it's not a random thing. It's just a very, very time sink game. But that's a positive benefit to it if you're willing to invest it, because that means that you have a lot going into it, and it's a lot of fun. And just like with other games we've talked about, the different countries have different advantages and disadvantages, mostly in their starting locations. It's I can't. Unfortunately, nobody else at this table has ever played it. And if I wanted to own a copy of it, number one, it would cost like $250 for me to actually get copies of it. And number two, I doubt that I'd be able to get seven people to sit down for 18 hours to play it.
But, so here's my question about this game, because it makes me think of Eclipse, and there's a reason Eclipse didn't make my list. When you sit down to dedicate these 18 hours, can someone randomly get bad fucked out of luck and lose in the first two and then sit there for 16 hours with no way to recover?
No. It can seem like the game has – so it's a trading game. And the interesting thing about it is that you build up cities, okay. And there's no dice as far as the military goes. Military is straight up math. Like, territories will have an amount that they can support. Like, let's say a territory can support like six people. If you had four in there and I moved in like six guys, then I lose a guy, you lose a guy, I lose a guy, you lose a guy, I lose a guy, you lose a guy. And we keep going back and forth until it's at its capacity of six. Okay. And if only one of us has people there, then that person owns the territory, whatever. And you can build cities. But, Andy found the game I was talking about. You can build cities, and then on your turn, based on how many cities you have, you draw commodity cards. And if you have more cities, you get higher strength commodities. And then you trade with people. There's a trading phase. And the reason you're trading is to build sets of these commodities, because the more you have of a set, you can trade them in for money and use the money to buy technology advances to mitigate things and et cetera. And some of the cards you are drawing are calamities. And so when you're trading with people, you have to trade in sets of three cards, and you have to tell the truth about two of them. So you're like, I'm going to give you a wool and a gold and something else. And usually people don't even bother lying about third. They're just like, the something else is what I'm lying about. Take your luck, it might be. And so you're throwing calamities at people. And so you can screw each other over with trading calamities. But one of the big calamities that comes up a lot is called Civil War. And Civil War basically says whoever's winning loses half their shit to whoever's losing. Yikes. So you can be losing for a while, but the calamities are going to bring it back into it. Also, people are going to throw calamities at the people who are winning, so there's a lot of player right. screwage with you're like, fuck it, Brian's winning, just throw stuff at him, and then whoever's losing is not going to get hit by calamities. So,
I've experienced that every day of my life, my yes. board games.
Yeah. So, yes, it's possible,
throw things at Brian.
But in general, that's not going to happen.
It's usually a brick, so.
This from the guy who played six mandatory quests in one game on someone.
I was cashing in a vengeance.
That sounds cool. I agree. I don't know that I'd ever
that's
have the
fine.
Time to play it. But
today,
it
Jeremy
cool.
was like, yeah, Brian played three mandatory quests on me that one time. I don't even know how he got up to three. That's just impossible.
I said that that's just rare. I didn't say impossible.
Whatever. The
and
point
he had to dig for it. He had to
when
dig for it.
It's a good ability.
When two of my three starting quests were mandatory, and I pulled Drew, and I'm like, I think this would be the game I give Kitty all these.
There you go. So, yeah. So, Civilization, it's a in-depth, super, super legit game.
Very cool.
My next one is like the quick game that you play in between harder games. And I had a hard time deciding between Seven Wonders and Resistance. Mm-hmm. But I think that I actually like Resistance better. We don't play it
yeah.
as much. And I know that a lot of people don't like it as much. But
Brian's done with it.
Brian yeah. is done with it, but
I
really
lose it. So it got boring, and it's fun.
No.
It's more fun to watch people play it.
No, that game is amazing. It is amazing.
I just it's
like it's more. Quick. You have so much fun. There's so much interaction between everyone that is just like that. Like the thing with Small World is it's fun and it's quick, and I always lose. but there isn't as much player interaction. Whereas with Resistance,
you said Seven World.
She didn't say Small World.
I didn't say Small World because I decided that Jeremy ruins that game for me.
much like Jim ruins that for me.
Yeah.
I will say, for better or for worse, one of the things that is very true about Resistance is it's a lot like Werewolf Light or Mafia, if you ever played, you know, which is also kind of Werewolf.
Nothing makes me hate Werewolf more than going to conventions and watching other people play Werewolf.
It's not people. It's super drunk people.
Because they have no... I mean, you're actually in a room playing board games, and 18 drunk people come in and just start screaming profanities until the hotel comes and says, hey, you guys are, you know, shouting profanities at 3 a.m.
Because the thing is that Werewolf is complete chaos.
Yes.
Like Resistance, you have information.
Yes.
So, because the problem with Werewolf is you start the game, the very first thing you do is randomly murder a player.
Right.
With zero information.
Yep.
And then the next thing you do is secretly murder a player.
Yeah.
Then the third thing you do is randomly murder a player, and the entirety of your information is who randomly got murdered the first turn, which, again, was completely fucking random.
Right.
Like, there's no actual information gathered ever.
Yeah.
And so it's pure random drunken shrieking, like just how were monkeys trying to vote for president.
Yeah. And Resistance actually has a structure to it. Resistance only takes, like... 20 minutes of play. I prefer Resistance just the core without the additional I don't think you need the player cards. I think just
Andy took my notes, but I've been scribbling them out, so that's not very helpful to
he's
him.
He's writing, he's tracking down our list. So that was Katie's.
No, that was Nathan.
That was Katie's.
Oh, that was me. Because okay. Well, because it's just such a fun game to play. Like if you have just finished Fortune Glory and you like break,
I'm telling you, just sitting and watch. If there's eight people playing it or six, just sit because you watch them. Then you close your eyes and you open. If you're spies, you open your eyes, and if you're just observing, you'll know who the spies are. Then they close their eyes, and then
watching them lie through.
Well,
their
not only them watching them lie. I like Nathan when he's not a spy. His logic to why people are spies is so hilarious because it's like that person's a spy because they twitched and this thing, and it's like you know they said this one thing, and he's like accusing the person he's accusing is just another teammate, but he has this like confounded like 24-step reason why that person's a spy. The guy's like, I'm not a spy. You're like, that's why he's a spy. No, it's fun to watch. It's fun to watch people like, accuse each other when you know what's going on. It's more fun than playing, in my opinion.
But I got an idea for this next weekend. If we're going to actually record, we should record us playing Resistance.
Oh, God.
I think that would be entertaining.
It'd be something.
They already did that on
whatever.
What's-his-face's panties.
Whatever. He's a has-been.
Who? He's a has-been?
Wow.
I love wow. Will Wheaton.
Will Wheaton. Wow.
I was going to set up the Be a Dick Club.
Were you?
Yeah. Counter balances that don't be a dick.
All right. So my last one, because I had Battlestar on here and Brian's an ass, was trying to think of good games, because Kitty and I are always looking for a good game to play two-player. And this one is a game that can be played and can be fun two-player. Admittedly, Katie doesn't have the best of luck at it, but she still is in the mood for it more often than you'd think for someone who loses it every time she plays, and that's Carcassonne. It's really fun. There's lots of expansions. All the expansions change the game fairly dramatically, which I like about them. Or the base game's also fun. It's on the iPad. Like, Katie and I played at lunch today, and it was just fun just playing on the iPad at lunch.
Or in line.
Apparently in line waiting to buy my House Card Thane, which you guys didn't manage to get for me.
The thing about Carcassonne to me is that game is it's a combination of slash incredible luck and incredible. It's an incredible skill game while at the same time being an incredible luck game.
Yes.
It balances both ends so crazily.
Yes. The expansions tilt it one way or the other more so than. And that's fine. I'm okay with that because then they're very different games. Somebody was playing at work the other day. I saw they play at lunch sometimes, and there's this new expansion that I hadn't seen before. There's literally just a wheel in the middle, and you spin it, and things happen. Like it's like the Wheel of Fortune. Random thing happens. Now take your turn. And I was just like, bruh? So there's all sorts of different expansions for it. Katie's favorite expansion, at least I'm pretty sure, is The Princess and the Dragon.
Which will be on the iPad soon.
Which, yeah, I saw that they're developing for that. I enjoy most of the expansions I've tried. I don't know that I have a favorite yet, but Katie definitely likes Princess and the Dragon.
I'm a big fan of The Rivers. I use it on my iPad. The Rivers is my least favorite of the three iPads.
I don't think we own that one in the actual game, so I haven't played it. So
my favorite isn't an expansion from the original. It's an offshoot one, which is it comes in the wooden box, and it's Castle Carcassonne.
Interesting.
It's the big difference mechanically is that in addition to laying a tile, you also put a wall on the outer edge of the game. So eventually you're surrounding the entire game in an impassable wall, and that's when the game ends.
Oh,
that or when you run out. Like it's right. One of two possible game end mechanics, and so that adds an interesting little dynamic to it.
That's kind of interesting. All right, so that was my fifth one.
Well, it was your like third one, but your others were stolen.
Yeah. Right, yes.
Yeah. I have one left.
I have a couple still left, but my I like small games. I don't like games that take up a lot of time, so a lot of mine are kind of quick card games. New one I found recently that I kind of mentioned on a podcast was Boss Monster. It's a simple little 8-bit dungeon boss. You have to draw heroes into there, try to kill the heroes, and first person to 10 wins. You know, it's a nice character driven game.
It's one of those like lighter beer and pretzel style games where you know you can just play it in 45 minutes and it's not overly complex or deep.
Yeah,
wacky fun.
Yeah, exactly. It's not complex at all. I mean, you basically just read what it says on the cards and it's pretty much self-explanatory. It's a fun little game.
Mm-hmm.
But
cool.
Agreed.
Yay.
I haven't got to try yet, so
you haven't tried it yet.
Nope. You guys all played it when I was playing actual War Machine one night.
Yeah. Oh yes.
it's nice to have like it's along the lines of what like Katie was talking about, like a filler little game. It's especially nice like if you're gonna have a game night where you have like a dozen people show up and you're shuffling around and like this group of four people plays this and this group of four. And sometimes when you're having one of those you get to the point where some of the people are done with their game, and there's like four people who are 15 minutes away from finishing their game. Yeah. And if you all start games, they're going to be stuck with the same group.
Right.
So if you want to shuffle, you have to find a quick 20 half hour game. And yep. that's one of those games that needs to be at game nights to fill that time niche.
Makes sense.
Yep. Yep. No, it's definitely, I definitely agree. Or you just play 2-3 hour games. You want to play more, but you don't want to play a 3 hour. You want to play something that can your brain can decompress right. a little bit.
Or somebody runs to go get pizza, and you know play this in the meantime.
Yeah.
Ryan.
Yep. My last game that has not been mentioned is my kind of war slash strategy game, and arguably my favorite game in the world, StarCraft the board game.
Yeah.
Which I've mentioned before in the podcast.
Didn't quite make my list, but it was close.
It's a core game with the expansion is like one mega game. I mean. It's just such a fun, expand, conquer the galaxy style game. It's very thematic to the StarCraft universe. Mm-hmm. So every faction plays differently, which I like. Another game where you can win via victory points. You can win via your secondary objectives.
It's my favorite deck building game.
It's got deck building games. Mm-hmm.
The first deck building game.
I don't know how old the original
there
one
is. There
is
no... Well, in a deck building game, it's just one element, which is nice.
Right, it's a big core mechanic of it.
It is. Yeah, that's like, how you combat is through the deck.
Because I remember when that game came out, people were like, oh my god, you like build your deck during the game. That's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, and that was pre-Dominion.
No, and there's no dice to worry about, which is great. I like diceless games. I mean, I rolling dice can be fun, and War of the Ring has dice, and I love that element. And it can be fun, but I also like my strategy where it's... It's not dry combat. It's the cards and it's the elements and all your how
yeah,
you.
It's still random what cards you draw. It's not,
and there's technologies of which enhance everything. So it has in that game. If you have five, it's another game where if you have five or six people who've played it multiple times, you can get it done in 2.5 hours.
Yep.
But in every game, you can go. And because the board is, it's kind of like Eclipse, where every time you play the game, the map is created differently because you lay out the planets differently every time. So. Maybe one game you have to go more ground troop heavy, or the next game you have to worry more about your spacecrafts. It just really depends on where in the world you are. Maybe you're all the planets around you are minerals and you don't have any gas, so you have to like build certain troops based on that. And
always have gas. Ha ha ha. Get it, farts.
So yeah, so that's my last game I mentioned. That's probably my games on my list. That's probably the oldest of my games. Like I really wanted to. I'm gonna sneak in it. I couldn't quite fit in El Grande, so that's my other little sneak game mentioned because I didn't really have an area control game.
I've got like six games left. I kept thinking of games.
Well, no, I could
only have five.
Yeah. I've only done three so far.
That's why I named Jeff El Grande, because I know it's not on anyone's list, but it's such a fun area control game.
You
should play more. But I'm done. Those are all my games.
My official fourth mention is going to be my personal favorite cooperative game, and the one I almost forgot to write down, which is Space Alert. I love Space Alert. It's something I learned this past War Machine weekend is that I learned it the previous War Machine weekend, but it's good to remember is that you need to play Space Alert sober.
at least mostly sober. You could have a beer in you.
Space Alert is unforgiving of incompetence.
Yes.
So if you can be competent, if you're a drunken genius, that's fine. But if you want to actually win the game, the team needs competence. So just be mindful of that. But I love Space Alert. I know we've gone into this before, but the reason it's my favorite cooperative game is because a common thing that happens in cooperative games that don't have a hidden team element, because the hidden team element kind of mitigates this a little bit, is if you sit down and you play a five-player game of Arkham Horror, you're really playing a one-player game of Arkham Horror with four people doing what that one guy says to do because he's best.
It depends if it's all the same skill level or if like one person's played it a million times and the other
It's fun playing Arkham
game.
With Jim because Jim will actually, like halfway through, he realizes he's telling everyone his turn, so he basically has to keep his hand over his mouth because he's literally having so much fun he can't stop himself, right. So he has to like lock himself down
and there's nothing if you're the Jim in that situation, it's not something wrong with you. I mean, obviously if there's a correct thing to do and you are the highest skilled player there, as a team member you should be pointing that out, but I think it's kind of a bad, not like I said, it sometimes if when taken to extreme, you end up with a solitaire game and four people saying whatever you say, boss, whatever you say. And in Space Alert, because it's real time, you have exactly 10 minutes. It's way too hectic for one person to take over, so it requires a team to actually function as a team.
Yes.
Now that everybody has their iPads out and is like talking about things behind,
I was saying
Andy and Jeremy were over there like chit chatting about.
You wanted
stuff
me to send me
no,
my list of board
games. List.
That was my fourth one.
No, Space Alert, it's fun. That's another game where I guess I'm a voyeur of board games. That's another game that I loved watching people play.
Full stop.
Well, but watching someone, I'm telling you, next time people are playing Resistance, watch, just watch. If they're playing Spacer, just watch the complete chaos and anarchy of their just watch them talk with their logic, because they're in such a hurry, they'll make logic flaws, but they don't have time to catch up to it until later on. Then you can watch their brain catch up with their mouth, and oh my God. And then
The last Mayhem Cup in Madison, I watched you and a bunch of the Iowans play, and it was hilarious.
Yeah, it is. I was like, you're going through it after the 10 minutes is up, and then you're going through and actually doing your actions. You get to turn five, and you're like, and then I shoot that enemy vessel, and they're like, wait, math was wrong. It's still alive at one hit point.
Oops.
Oh, shit. Because we sure didn't shoot again. And then you just watch them run off to go do something else. Yep. And that ship's just chugging along.
I mean, the last game I played of that, I won because I accidentally put a card the wrong way, but it turned out to be the right way because someone else screwed up something else. So it all balanced out, and you couldn't have planned that. I mean, my mistake was only worked because of someone else's mistake.
Yep. Yeah.
My last game, because my other ones were taken, is Trains, Ticket to Ride, both Europe and Normal. They're both amazing. They're both great for people who are just getting into games. There's a lot of competitiveness in them that I wouldn't expect from a game that's supposed to be, fairly independent play from everyone.
The American one is cutthroat as shit. Those little one-train things over by Seattle, those will ruin relationships.
Europe 5 players, this is bad.
Yeah, Europe is just a 2 or 3 players, Europe is this friendly, nice game where we can all get along. 5 players, it's like, God damn you all to hell. There's 3 stations where I need to be, and all the trains are down. I guess I'm just effed.
But it's a great game to play, especially if you don't want to think too, because you don't need to think too hard about it. You just need to think sort of about it, so you can have a couple of drinks, eat your nachos or whatever, and have it going on while you're talking about whatever. It's a very casual game as far as having to think goes, whereas I feel like the rest of the ones on my list, you have to be engaged in the game 100%, and this one you can be half engaged.
The other nice hidden advantage of Ticket to Ride, the American one, is that if you have European friends who are all smug about how stupid Americans are because we can't even find Benghazi on a map or whatever,
right,
just show them the Ticket to Ride board and ask them where Chicago is. What state is it Chicago in, you smarty? I don't think it's Chicago, Indiana. Where's Duluth, huh, smart pants?
Yeah, that map, the American map, is hilariously wrong.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure the European one is too.
Right, and that's all I'm saying.
It might be, but I want to know.
It's the perception that Americans are these knuckle-dragging idiots who can't find... And there's a we don't live...
Where you live.
Right.
Yeah.
Why would we need to know where
I don't
that
need
is
to know exactly where Antwerp is. I know it's in Belgium. I don't know exactly where in Belgium.
I don't even know where Belgium is.
That's a little depressing, but that's okay.
No, it's not. Think about it.
Yeah, it is Belgium. It is Jeremy.
I mean, also,
that's why God made maps.
So you could look at them.
No. So that when I need to find something, I look it up on a map.
That's why God made GPS.
Yes,
so that too. I don't know if you'd appreciate the humor of In Bruges, since some of it's with geographical humor. I don't even know if you'd.
Oh, In Bruges.
That's a good movie. Jeremy, were you out of games?
I am out because my 5th choice was taken.
Yeah, that was my last one because I had Battlestar/Zombicide and both of them were taken.
Andy, do you have more still?
I always have more games.
Well, you've done 3, so you have an official 4th.
Well, my official 4th is Warhammer Quest.
Sweet.
I knew that would be on the list for you.
Yeah, everyone needs to play Warhammer
That's
Quest.
It's a little
at least
video
once.
Game one, right?
Yeah, oh, my God.
It's fun.
It's great on the iOS, yes.
Hey,
no.
Andy, have you seen that Brian has Warhammer Quest anytime he wants it in his pocket?
There it is.
Hey, we're going to play Warhammer Quest without Andy over here. Doo-doo-doo!
So I would honestly recommend the digital one and the analog one. Both of them are...
Analog one's got to be pricey, right? Because that's out of print.
That is completely out of print.
Well,
it's very difficult to get old.
That's why they do
Kickstarter. Speaking of analog ones, I had to run a car the other day because somebody smashed into my bumper and I get to go fix. But anyway, they had an analog clock in there.
Yeah, the dashboard.
There wasn't a digital clock anywhere in the car. It was just an analog clock that lit up at night.
Wait, your car did?
No, her rental.
My rental car.
Her rental had an analog clock in it.
Do they have a little wind-up thing in the front of the car?
Felt like it should.
Well, the best part is it was an hour off.
Was it
a
grandfather clock? There was a pendulum clicking back and forth?
The best part was it was an hour off and Jeremy didn't even notice.
Why would I notice? I didn't even look at it. It was yep, there's an analog clock there. I guess I don't know what time it is.
How did we get from Warhammer Quest to your car?
Analog versus digital.
Welcome to Wisconsin.
That's all she needed.
Welcome to our podcast.
Welcome to Crippled System.
And, if people who are listening to the podcast, you have 100 minutes to get in the Kickstarter of Shadows Over Brimstone, which is basically a modern-day Warhammer Quest. But
well, they won't have those minutes anymore.
I know. No. That's why I said they have 100 minutes, because it'll be over. 1.3 million, baby.
Do you have a 5th game, Ryan, or did your 5th
game still get hit by Tech War Quest.
Oh, okay.
Right. Tech War?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
Well, unlike Nathan's, I think my eBay costs for Warhammer Quest far exceeds 200. For most of them. I think the Warhammer base game Quest, is over 200. All the character expansions are well over 75 apiece. All it is just a sheet of paper with a rule book and a little pewter miniature, and they're about 75 to 100 apiece.
My big eBay board game coup that I have is I own Dark Tower.
Tower.
I could have a car if I sold Dark Tower.
Yeah, it's a great game too. But Warhammer Quest, if you have somebody in the area that has it, you should play it. Or just come up to Wisconsin. I'm not going to invite the gauntlet like Nathan has for what game was that?
Fortress America. Anytime.
Fortress America. If Fortress three America? People show up at my house at 2 in the morning and say, let's play Fortress America, I will put that
at
out.
At some point, we are going to
show up at your house.
Call that bluff. I will be so happy because I'll be playing Fortress America.
And Raylene will be so pissed.
You have to give me the combination to your thing because we want to be standing over you when we wake you up.
Just like holding the board.
Just leave your door open every night.
Don't worry about it.
We won't be wearing pants.
And the thing is, Nathan lives in a good part of town, so it's really safe to leave his door open.
Hey, you know what? There's a lot of police presence in my neighborhood.
I'll bet
there
is.
Safe.
I'll bet there
That's
is.
That's what that means.
If you saw where I grew up, like this, I'm okay with this.
I grew up in a similar neighborhood.
Yeah, I'm not going to take that gauntlet though. You can't just come over to my place and play Warhammer Quest
at 2 a.m.
And Warhammer Quest
at
2 a.m. It's pure co-op. It's a pure cooperative game.
Yes,
you verse the game.
Yeah, I think a little more well known was HeroQuest is the same basic premise. Some people at home might have played that.
Interesting segue. HeroQuest is in its 25th anniversary. They're just putting something out. I don't know if it's they're about to put out a Kickstarter. I don't know if it's for like an iPad or iOS or if it's a brand new game. So I just saw some logos for it.
Speaking of what baffles me, I never realized that the 50th anniversary of Doctor Who was only one day after the 50th anniversary of JFK being shot. It's a weird like. Coincidence. Those two things are so close.
Is
together.
It a coincidence?
Is it?
Is it?
That's who. That,
I don't know why that would be of any significance.
First documented Time Lord is right after JFK.
How do you know that Davros didn't kill JFK?
Yeah.
I don't know who that is.
He was the mysterious third
JFK?
Gunman.
He was a president.
That was good.
Yeah, you know. All right. I'm going to lightning round here real quick and just knock a couple off my list.
You mentioned Gears of War, a great co-op game. Ooh, I snuck another one in
that
there.
That can be yours.
Gears of War is great. Gears of War.
You're 12?
Yeah. I want to get, I'm completely off topic here. I want to get in the next month, after the holidays, a session of us playing, or at least five people that want to give away like a month, once a week or once every 2 weeks, just go through all of Level 7 Omega Protocol.
Sure.
Yep, and then I want to go through all of Gears of War.
Sure.
So I'll organize that after the holidays.
Yes.
But definitely sometime in January, I'll see if I can find five people or four people that
want. We're gonna try playing Escape first.
I'll probably I'm not gonna play Escape. I'm just gonna write the Omega Protocol. Back to Nathan.
All right. So the only mention this had was people mentioning that it was ruined for them by other people, but it's still an amazing game, and we all still enjoy, to my knowledge, Small World. Right, so I'm shocked nobody actually
it was on my list.
But you said it wasn't on your. It didn't make your cut because Jeremy ruined it for you, and Jim ruined it for Andy.
Well, that's because Jim spent the entire game when he played with Andy just.
Small World is one of those games where somebody's going to be like, I'm losing, and then they win. Or somebody's like, stop picking on me, I'm not really winning, and then they
win. When
you
play with computer, I'm actually going to complain, because playing the computer is so enjoyable because they don't complain, and I'm like, wow, maybe if you complain less, games would be even more fun.
So pretty soon Brian will no longer be playing games. He'll just be in this house playing against
computer. This is what Jeremy said to me one time. He's like, I'm done playing this game with Brian because he just picks on me the entire time and won't let me win. He picks on everybody. Everyone picks on everybody in that game. Like, just because a good strategy is to pick on someone in the game doesn't mean everyone is picking on
you. And the point of Small World, the world is too small, so you have to jump on somebody. You literally can't. I mean,
it's eponymous.
Yeah.
Yes.
It is eponymous. Yes. So Small World, of a shout out. And then Hey, That's My Fish, which we've talked about a million times. And then my actual fourth recommendation is going to be Nexus Ops. I've
seen it. I've never played it.
That's a game that our group should play more.
Nexus Ops, everybody should play more. Like, even people who have played it. It's for some reason, it's easy to like put on your shelf and go, I really enjoy Nexus Ops.
If
you play it once in a
four people, we often have more than four is our biggest challenge. Like, it's hard to, if I try to find four people to play board games, I'm going to be yelled at by four other people for not being invited.
Because they were invited.
So it's really difficult to get four player games.
So Nexus Ops is a hex-based military game, like Eclipse or something like that, but there's no expansion. You just build it. it, and it's there. The big thing I love about Nexus Ops is that you win when you reach a certain number of victory points, and the only way to win get victory points is by winning battles where you are the attacker. You must attack. And the game, the way they turn is you get your money, you immediately spend your money on guys, you put your guys on the board, and then you attack. There's no defense. There's just throw shit at the wall, kill some stuff, get some victory points. So it's very fast paced. It's very aggressive. Nobody turtles in a corner like an asshat. So it's it's different than all those other war games in that you don't build these Maginot lines. You just throw things at each other.
A ton of special effect cards.
With a ton of special effect cards. And if you lose a game as the defender, you get extra special effect cards. So it's a little booby prize for losing a match. You'll get some card that's like teleport your army to somebody's butthole and destroy them. And so they're like, oh, okay, I don't feel so bad that I lost.
Right, because you can...
So it's very fast-paced, very aggressive, very fun, and it's super fast. Like, you're done. You can play that game an hour, hour and a half, no problem.
One game that I am a little surprised no one mentioned is the Roman one that you guys always play with the little arena and they fight each other.
Spartacus. I thought about it, but it didn't make my
list. I said it was hard. I mean,
I had to cut it down to 5. I literally had 18.
My list was over 20. So
yeah.
And I was trying to. We haven't played Spartacus probably in the last 6 months either, which is a shame.
We did, but it only once or twice. In the last 6 months.
We have never played the expansion yet.
I know. I stared at everybody going, oh.
Andy's smirking.
Well, I'm not really smirking, but I do have one that we have talked about on the podcast, and I'm surprised nobody mentioned.
Yeah.
We need to play it more then,
if
nobody's mentioned it. And that is Epic Spell Wars of the Battle Wizards Duels at Mount Skulls Fire.
True story, never played it.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know which one that is.
I don't know that you've played it either, Katie. I know Brian and I have both played it.
Katie, you would love it.
That's another great in-between game.
Yes.
Although I think you have to almost say we're going to play an X amount of wins versus... If you get too many people, it can be...
Basically, if you're going to play an in-between, you have to play with a small crew. If you're playing it with a large crew, that game could actually go for like a good hour, 2 hours, because of you have to win at least twice in order to win the whole thing. So if you're going with 6 people...
And each player wins once. Yeah, the more players there are, the longer the game could go.
And they will say, for that game specifically, in my experience with it is, I think I would enjoy it immensely more if I drank while playing it. It's the sort of game that lends itself to that. Like, it's a funny, goofy...
You have to be coherently drunk.
You have to be coherently... I'm not saying, like, shit-faced.
Yeah.
I'm not talking werewolf drunk.
This is why they call them beer and pretzel.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, yes. That's why at last War Machine weekend, we started playing it, and I was way too... I couldn't read.
That's a problem.
That's a good example of a game where it's great fun, it's a little bit of random. To me, there's a time... Random games versus length. It's kind of like the hot versus crazy.
Crazy hot scale.
A game can be as random as shit. If it's under 60 minutes, I don't care.
Right.
But as it gets longer than 60 minutes, my enjoyment just starts plummeting.
Yes.
Yeah. MX Spell Wars can often be under an hour, but like you said, if you have 6 people, it can be two hours. And that last hour for me is just miserable. It's why we don't like that one, the rabbit, the thing, Killer Bunnies? Not Killer Bunnies. Yeah,
Munchkin.
Munchkin.
Munchkin, yeah.
Fun
Munchkin
for is the awful. First half an hour, but it like, takes 4 hours.
Yeah.
If you can make Munchkin only last 30 minutes, it'd probably be you have to modify Munchkin so it's a 30-minute game.
Yeah.
We'd probably sing
its praise. You need to do something, because what happens is somebody gets to 9 points, and then it just ends up the last person who gets to 9 points ends up winning because everyone's already spent all their
stuff.
You're
all at 9 points for an hour until somebody happens to limp into 10.
Yeah.
Spell
Wars is it's so ridiculous fun. But you have no control over really winning or losing that game.
Oh, yeah.
No.
So you don't know if you're gonna if it's gonna go 2 hours, if it's gonna go 30 minutes. You just have it's just so much chaos and stupidity.
So you're okay with we didn't play test this at all, because that can take 4 seconds.
I love that we didn't
play. You're too short.
There's that one, but then there's one that's like if you are a girl you win, and I drew that twice.
Why didn't this get mentioned? Cards Against Humanity.
I don't like Cards Against Humanity.
No,
it's fun to read the cards.
It's fun to read the cards. You go, oh, those are hilarious, and then,
people always think what they're saying is clever, but all the cards are ridiculous. So all card combinations are ridiculous. You're not the clever one. You know, Hitler plus monkey poo plus Dick Cheney is going to be funny when you add a few more words in. And it's just like, oh, I have Cards versus Humanity. I'm a clever person. No, you just need to buy a better game.
I print that a lot for people at work. And I'll look at them and I'll go, ha, that's funny. And then when I play the game for real, I get bored of it after like 10 minutes.
Well, it needs to be like a 20-minute game.
Yeah,
10 to 20 minutes. You need to play like 2 rounds. The Time's Up one.
Oh, yeah, Time's Up, yeah.
People start with Cards Man. They say, let's just play till someone gets like 3 or 4. But then it turns out, let's just play through the whole deck. I'm like, no.
Yeah.
Someone gets 3, it's over. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I guess the last time I played it was about 2 years ago. Yeah. So I played at War Machine Weekend. I remember it again. It's I guess maybe if you play it every 2 years, then it's fine.
Then it's fun, yeah.
It's like you play it until you're bored of it and then stop. Yeah. But there's always one person in the group who wants to keep playing it because they brought
or
it.
Or several. Like, that is the problem with that game is when I sit down with a group of people, everyone wants to keep playing
it. You have to be okay with going, you know what, guys, I'm done playing this game, and then just leave the table.
Right. Yeah. All right. Do you have another one?
I have one last actual one, my actual fifth one.
Sure.
Because we started with completely dry, and we're going to end with completely dry. Woo-hoo! Unless Andy had another one.
It's really hot in here now.
It is really hot.
It's very nice in here.
It's very comfortable. A game that is not for everybody, but if you have a group of people that like it and play it consistently, it is an amazing game to have. It's like, hey, let's play this every 2 weeks, or let's play it once in a while. And I would you know, if a club existed locally that was like that, I would play this game definitely weekly, is Diplomacy. I love, love, love Diplomacy. It is... The mechanic that we were talking about at the very beginning with the pretending you're losing a game to try to trick
people. That's the only way to play Diplomacy.
That is literally the only rule in Diplomacy is you play that. Yes. That is the game mechanic in Diplomacy. Yeah. For people who aren't familiar, just to quickly recap, it is a war game with zero dice. It's pure math. You can only have one unit per territory. So if you have a unit who needs to attack a territory, it's a one-to-one tie. You cannot take a territory. So if I'm attacking Jeremy, we're tied one-to-one. I can't attack him. But if Brian's adjacent to us, both of us are trying to convince Brian to support us, so it becomes 2-to-1.
Right.
So the game's pure math, and because it's pure math and everybody starts equal, it's pure Diplomacy to try to convince people. So it's a great game if you're the kind of person and the kind of group who likes backstabbing and weaseling and talking and convincing each other to do each other's bidding.
This is the problem I have with Diplomacy. I only played it once, and Nate Newbie backstabbed me, and I told him, I said, they're gonna take me out, and then they're gonna turn on you immediately next. Like, we need to work together so we can both survive long enough, and then we can stab each other in the back, and that's fine. And he was like, no, I don't believe that. And then he got killed right after I did.
Yeah.
And I just don't understand how he can't see what's going on. And
have you met him? He's kind of dumb.
Well, but my problem is there's always,
hi, Nate.
Hi. There's always somebody in there who's just like, logic no longer works on this person because Nathan has them so far convinced.
Nathan is a golden tongued devil.
I did play my buddy Andrew Shalhoub, which some of you met one time when he was here as the mathematician. He is the world champion, most ever victories at the official Diplomacy tournament at Gen Con. Like, he's won it more than anyone else. He's the Pele of Diplomacy. And I played with him a few times, so I went through the hard knocks.
Yeah.
But along those lines, if you can find a group and play Diplomacy a half dozen times so you all know each other's personalities and know how to tell and you all play different – like, that is a game to play a bunch. If you play it once, it doesn't get its point across, I think. Plus, since it's player – it's a long game with player elimination. So if you're Italy and you're wiped out in a half an hour and everybody else plays for six more hours, like, there's – you know, that's
– Well, that's why I liked playing it online, because once I was done, I was just done. I didn't have to show up anymore.
Well, that's the thing is there's, what, eight – is there six or –
Seven.
Seven. And really, three of the – like, there's of the middle ones, two or three get eliminated really fast. It's just, and if you're one of – I mean, the game is going to shift in a certain way that two people are pretty much out right away. You don't really know. It's all about the diplomacy of who it is. But if you're that other person, your skill is irrelevant if three people say, you know what, we're just going to go left.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then no matter how good you are at a game, you've just lost and there's nothing you can do. And that's why it's not – we haven't always said many negative things about each other's game. But that's why I don't – it's a single element game, and I don't like the your skill can be taken out of it if – two guys are...
Yeah, no, you're right. Like, especially those... like, there's a couple triangles. Like, there's England, France, and Germany. And then there's... two of those three are going to kill the other one. It's just going to happen in the first couple years. And then Austria and Italy, like, one of those two is going to die. And the game, if you're one of the wrong... Like, if you're France and Germany and England just agree to annihilate you, you are out of that game. Just is. But again, that's why... If you're okay with that, and if you play the game dozens of times, that's not going to happen every time. Whereas if you can play the game once or twice and it happens to you once or twice, you're like, fuck this game.
Yeah.
But again, it's definitely not for everybody. It is a game for people who like that style of game, and if you like that style of game, it's a masterpiece.
There's a few games our group doesn't play because you need to play it. Like Twilight Struggle, we don't play. It's a game you get. You need to play that a couple times a month to enjoy it. Diplomacy, you need to play a couple times
a month. Like, if you and I had played Twilight Struggle weekly, I think we would have loved Twilight Struggle.
Oh, I still think it's a great game.
But instead, we played War of the Ring
more.
Just,
and, yeah.
Yeah.
We just didn't keep it.
All right.
Board games.
Board games are awesome. That was like an hour and a half of board games.
Anyone else have board games left?
There's a Pandemic we never mentioned.
Well.
It's a good game.
It's all right. It's great.
Now we're just throwing names.
Now we're going into the B tier.
We are going to these. I do have a Katie's Corner real quick.
Yeah.
In regards to board games, is you have to play a lot of these games for the end game. Like, you either have to play for the end game, or if you have to have so many more points than the other people that by the time end game scoring comes into effect, it doesn't matter. And that's something to keep in mind, and that's something that I've seen a lot of people be bad at. But Carcassonne is one of them. Lords of Waterdeep is one of them. Terra Mystica is one of them. There's so much end game scoring that you can just see somebody go from last place to first place.
Carcassonne.
She said Carcassonne is the first one I said.
And if you're teaching someone a new game,
Ticket to Ride.
Oh,
yeah, there's a lot of games that have during game points and then end game points.
And it's something that you have to continue to be cognizant of. And a lot of people, especially new players, don't really seem to grasp that concept very well, because it's not, you can't see it. It's not like Monopoly where you can tell how many points somebody has.
And I've seen so many new players hate a game because the person explained the game, explained how the mechanics work. Then when it comes to the end game scoring, the person who knows the game says, "Oh, by the way, I scored 400 points." Because of all these end games, they're like, what do you mean? So you have to explain that going into a game. You have to be like, there's a lot of end. You have to, like, that has to be a thing that you explain to new players. Now, first time, they're not going to necessarily understand
it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then if you're showing someone a new game, then it's good to back off some of your end game scoring. I have a real problem doing it. Like, I have to consciously do it, and even when I do it, I don't do it very well.
You said doo-doo.
I mean,
it's a skill that not a lot of people have.
Throwing a game.
Yeah. Like, it's not something that comes
naturally. I
teach so
much now, I get used to this, having not to focus on
the shooting. And it's not necessarily throwing a game. It's playing at the same level as they are.
Yeah. Right.
So anyway, that's just my real quick.
And I would say that most of the games we play involve a heavy end game scoring.
A lot
most
of
the ones
games
we like.
Too.
Euro games. I mentioned a lot of Ameritrash games, which obviously don't even have points.
Yeah.
So, but yeah.
I would completely recommend, if you're trying to get somebody brand new into board games, play co-op games. Just play them in co-op games, and then eventually introduce the, start playing maybe like Fortune and Glory after that, where you're actually introducing competitiveness.
Also, cooperative, and then find a theme they like, a Firefly theme, or pick a theme that the person you want to introduce games into and go co-op, and then there's so many good cooperative theme-based games out there.
Yep.
Sorry, I just jumped into your...
Oh, no, that's fine.
It's a good point, though. It's a good suggestion.
So anyway, that's just a really quick, something to bear in mind, especially if you're new as well. End game scoring is a big deal. Cooperative games is a great way to get people into it. All right.
Do we want to try to do the world's fastest zappity grumble?
We should do it fast.
Zoom.
All right.
Yes.
But ready?
Who's going to open up?
I've got both open. I am ready to rock and roll.
You read them, and we're going
to. All right. It's going to be quick.
So also, there was a guy who complained that they never heard back from us.
Who?
He said we made fun of him the first time, and then this last time we didn't read his email.
Yep.
That's probably true.
That might be true.
Our email, we get so much spam.
Our email gets a lot of spam.
Our emails
send us another email. I'm going to clean out the email this week.
So. There was a guy 2 weeks ago who PM'd me on the main boards. He was like, "Hey, you were mentioned that you did surprisingly well with your pigs these last two tournaments. Could you tell me what your lists were and stuff?" And I never responded to him.
Somebody asked about videos on our YouTube page, how to upload the.
Oh yeah, that's been up since we made our YouTube.
Yeah, channel. Andy, you need to do that.
Speaking of videos, how's that that eighth video battle report doing?
Oh,
being uploaded.
It's doing great.
Somebody's asking about how to manage and run Who's the Boss and what the rules are and stuff.
I
was trying to look for the document because you had the documents online that had all the rules.
They're on
where they were.
CrippledSystem.com/WTB are the current convention versions of Who's the Boss. The actual, and that's WTB as in Who's the Boss.
Worst tool bag.
Yes. What the butt?
All right, I'll link.
But anyway, eventually what's going to be going up is the charity versions of Who's the Boss. Normal ones that we run, which doesn't have to be charity. We just end up running a nice charity one.
Yeah. So the long and the short of this is that we're still not going to answer that guy's email, but we're aware of the fact that we're not answering.
If he sends the email to the email account, I'm of all of us the only one that tries to
keep
up with the emails.
I clean out the emails on Thursday.
You do clean out the emails sometimes, but I'm one of the only ones that has ever responded to anything that wasn't t-shirt related.
I've never looked at the emails ever.
Right, exactly. The other thing is, since I am the one person that responds, just text or message me on the boards, Valiant418. Like, I do check the boards very, very frequently, and I'm happy to respond. Try to get these assholes to respond.
You say dude?
I noticed when our email got hacked.
Yeah. We got two pieces of spam.
And then we
got
the email was hacked. News. All right. This is the fastest happy grumble ever. Long Tom Silver or Captain D's?
I've never heard of Captain D's.
There you go.
Done. Zappity.
If you could repeat a month in your life, which month would it be?
1 month.
All right, so passing, apparently.
What a question.
It's from Travis.
Travis, you worthless sack.
Brian?
1997, November.
And that's a good one.
August.
Of?
August.
No, just August, all the time.
I was going to say August 2011.
Infinite August.
I would just say, yeah.
You're such a suck up.
I know, right?
Would you say that wedding is better?
All right, wait,
I got it. Zappity grumble.
Which day?
Which day of August 2011?
And moving on.
All right, moving on.
You failed at her birthday at a previous one, and now you don't know your anniversary?
What day was it, Katie?
It was August 6th.
I don't think it was.
It was.
Don't even pretend. Oh, my God. Right. Anyway. Abort.
Zappity. Yes. Crumble.
Crumble. What the fuck?
Katie and Jeremy remind me of Marshall and Lily from How I Met Your Mother. True or false?
I will accept this.
Apparently they do because you just said so. So true.
Okay. It's pretty accurate. I mean, Jeremy's kind of a dumber version of Marshall, but. Marshall's a successful lawyer, but he's a judge.
Come again for fudge? Yeah. All right. If you could have a superpower, what would it be?
Turn into any animal.
Omniscience.
Mind control.
I don't like that.
Ooh. Control
I don't want
time.
You to have
that. Ooh, I like control time. I'm going to steal control time. That's amazing. All right.
According to Cracked, stopping time like Zach from Saved by the Bell is actually the best superpower.
Yeah.
True story.
It seems like it would be. All right. Should Firefly the board game have
Can you start it up back up a little? It just stops so you can't like start
yeah.
it.
Yeah. It's like a Twilight Zone twist. Yeah.
Should Firefly the board game have wormhole nav cards where you end up at random locations?
Sure, why not?
No.
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 Good job, Katie.
It's like, I don't know.
I don't remember that happening in the show ever.
I'm taking Scar 1 with two Krakens to an upcoming tournament. Do I pair with Scar 2, Lich 1, Lich 2, or Denny 1?
Denny 1.
Denny 1.
I wouldn't know, so I'll take your guys' word for it.
Take a Krix caster.
All right. What is a good Midas list? That is not a Zappity Grammar question. You are fired.
Yeah, Midas, pigs. Take pigs with him.
You should take lots of pigs with Midas.
I'll post my Midas list. I'll post mine in the
front thread. Perfect.
Zappity.
Couple. Right,
and now we're on to Facebook.
Are you going to remember to do that?
Probably not. Somebody remind me. Somebody in the thread say, hey, Nathan, you said you're going to post a list.
Yeah, somebody said that.
The last one, I in the podcast, I said that I was going to post a video, and then I'm like, I don't remember what video I was going to post ever. And then somebody posted the video. I'm like, oh, thank you for posting that video.
Well, you're going to go home, watch Day of the Doctor, forget about everything else.
Yeah, yes. You are. So which Warcaster Warlock would be your wingman, wingwoman?
Kaya.
Good choice.
Borka.
Terminus. Who's gonna tell him no?
Andy's also got wings.
Yeah.
Fucker, Borka.
I was gonna go Borka too.
Brings that's the party.
I know, right? Yeah. Borka's party. All right.
Zabity.
Grumble.
I have been forgetting that. How much wood could Orsus Octavir chuck if Orsus Octavir got mad at wood?
All of it. All of the wood.
Wow.
All of the wood.
I applaud you for getting through that question.
I know, right?
Yeah, that was
Jeremy
pretty good.
Did a good thing.
Yep. Zabity.
Grumble.
Why is Nathan so foolish in his hatred to Warhammer Fantasy? Doesn't he know Superior Gentlemen play that game?
Those Superior Gentlemen can lick my rim.
All right, Zappity.
All right.
Grumble.
Grumble. Will Pagani, Kador Savior, or Cock Tease? Katie?
What?
Will Pagani, Kador Savior, or Cock Tease?
Why would it be a Cock Tease?
Because he's never going to play Kador again, ever.
Yeah. So?
System gamer is what he is.
Yeah.
He did something that was very strategic, and that's fine.
I say this hoping he listens.
He does not.
I hear that he's a douchey asshole. It's I have it on good authority that he's a douchey asshole.
I heard that Paul Giamatti is going to play him in a movie.
Paul Giamatti has too much hair.
No. Have you seen his hair?
Really did he actually cut it?
Yeah.
He told me at War Machine Weekend he was planning on it, and I made him promise he'd give it to Locks of Love.
I think it was Nick Priest that said you could have it for $16.
They have a picture of it, and he looks just like Paul Giamatti.
He really does.
Perfect.
I'm going to say Cocktease. He's never going to play Kador again. He was gaming the meta. It was a good play, but he's not going to be a Kador player.
As soon as Kador is advantageous to play again, he'll play it again.
Sure.
Yeah. Zappity.
Ooh. Grumble.
Rockets or Sweet Tarts?
Rockets? What the fuck is a rocket?
What, as euphemisms for boobs?
The answer is clearly Sweet Tarts.
I don't know what a rocket is.
I don't know what a rocket is. I'm going with Sweet Tarts.
Sweet Tarts.
Zappity.
Grumble.
Can you compliment the person sitting to your left, and will you?
Yes. You are a god among men.
Oh, God, I walked into that one.
All right. Everyone in this room has boobs, but Katie, yours are the ones I would probably most enjoy.
Probably most enjoy? That's not a compliment.
I'll say that you're actually my favorite person at this table.
Yay!
You're not as ugly as your mom.
Meh. What?
Wow.
You're not as easy as my mom?
He said I'm not as ugly as my mom.
Yes.
Jesus. Yeah, right? That's just mean.
Do you want to, on that note,
comment? So that's
Brian?
A no from Brian. Yes, Brian's going with no.
Wait, I forgot
that no was a valid answer to this question.
Sorry. I was confused by the question. I thought it was insult Nathan.
So, no?
I'm going to go with your beard is awesome.
All right.
Zappity.
Robot parts Grumble. Or genetic modification?
It's a good question.
It is a good question. It's an excellent
Hacksaw
question.
Hacksaw asks the best questions because he asks vague questions, but he knows us enough that it makes complete sense. So congratulations, Hacksaw. You're the best question.
Welcome back, Commander.
Even if you're a goddamn spy.
Yes. Welcome back, Commander.
Also, I like to point out they were talking about your questions before they even read your question and how good you were at asking questions.
Well, it was a great question. I had to acknowledge it.
And yet none of you are answering it.
Yeah. Is anyone going to actually? I was going to answer. Robot parts. The gene mods. Robot parts. Amazing.
Yes, I'll agree. Although the jeans are pretty awesome.
Jeans are cool, but the mechs are off the chain.
Shooting a flamethrower across. Shooting a flamethrower.
It's amazing.
Here's my question, though, about the mechs. Is I don't know where their legs start and their like pelvic area starts, and so I don't know if that they can have sex anymore.
No, they can't. It shows them outside the suit, and they're basically just like torso up with like metal attachments.
Yeah, but wait. I didn't know if they had like their hula.
They're specifically talking XCOM now. They're not talking in general.
I'm like, what the fuck are we talking about?
XCOM in specific.
Okay. Jesus.
I can't tell if they're wearing if they're just sitted into the metal part or if like they
rip off their arms and legs and then throw their torso into the armor.
Yeah, but their legs are not their penis.
I'll be honest, I had the same question. I was wondering earlier. Well, that's obviously the first question.
That should be a letter to the developers.
Can this guy jerk off with his robot arm? Would it hurt?
Speaking of robots and weird questions. So yesterday I was arguing with somebody at work about Buffy versus Buffy Angel or Buffy Spike. She's a Buffy Spike shipper. I'm with Buffy Angel.
I go with Buffy
So
Angel.
I said that the Buffy bot was creepy and that's why
it was
Spike, because that's stalker stuff. And then I'm thinking, did she have like a reservoir that Spike had to clean out after he had sex with his robot girlfriend? And then she's like, well, do vampires even ejaculate?
Valid question. You
know. Well,
I know one movie
Buffy
made a
the
point
where,
that
like,
it was
every
blood.
Time that
I'm
they
sad I wasn't there for the conversation.
Yeah, they made the face.
That's really...
Well, no, I mean, like, there's one vampire thing where everything that comes out of them is
blood.
Yeah,
I was going to say, there was one movie where they specifically make the point that vampires ejaculate blood, which is kind of gross.
That's not in the Buffyverse.
No, it's not, but I'm just saying.
But to go to Hacksaw's question, and not being XCOM related, I was originally going to say robots, and then I thought scientifically, if you have a robot arm and you go to lift up a car, your arm's just going to be torn out of your socket because your human torso can't support it. So even though like jetpack shit would be cool, I'm gonna go gene mod because it'd also be neat to have it all be part of your body. Like if I have wings and claws and stuff,
that'd be cool.
My sniper
with the gene jump ability has been a savior to me.
Yeah, that sounds really good.
Like I would rather have wings than a jetpack.
Yeah, I was gonna say is a gene mod is much better.
Ourselves, then I'm gonna be on the
until you fire the mech gun though. You're like your decision changes. Like, I built the gene thing first, and then I played a mech. I'm like, holy fuck!
Having a straight up like mini gun for an arm. To me, the coolest part of robot parts would be maintenance. Like I'd enjoy like opening it and like doing like little screwdriver into my wrist and stuff like that. Montaging that shit.
All right, so that was not
boring montage.
That was not Zappity Grumble. It was an amazing question.
With like Yanni
Andrew,
going in the background,
you win so far.
Zappity.
Grumble.
If you could be a War Beast Warjack, which one would you be and where would you rampage?
I'd be a stalker. I'd rampage through a town. I don't...
Anywhere you wanted.
Specifically?
Don't you fucking do it. Don't you do it.
What? I don't even know what he's saying I would do. I'm not going to steal whatever you were going to go with. Although the Blitzer's cool because you got the little dude riding on your back. But instead, I'd be a freebooter and wreck myself and then just jump off a fucking cliff because I suck. I'm wrecking my engine and then die.
I'd be the death jacking of people hugs.
He's a hugger.
I would be Mulg and I would communicate with people with my club.
Hello, Smash.
Yep. Can you survive my greeting?
I would be Typhon. I think that's a cool beast. I don't know what I'd do, but I'd be Typhon.
Argue with yourself?
Yes! That'd be amazing. I'd play board games by myself, three player.
You gotta have a threesome while masturbating.
I don't know that that would work looking at the beast. That looks like it would probably... It's all teeth and...
Hey, it's gotta do it somehow.
It doesn't have to.
Yeah, it does.
It's a blood-spawned creature.
That's why they have shepherds.
Do, like, two of the heads make out while the other one, like, watches and jerks off?
I guess.
Well, they take turns.
The neck is long enough. That's why it's such a long neck.
Oh, man, it can autofillate. All right. I know what Typhon mod I'm going to do now.
War Machine talk.
Woo-hoo! This is
happening. All right.
Grumble.
Focus or Fury, which is better?
I like Fury.
Fury is better on beasts. Focus is better on casters.
I prefer Nigel.
God damn it. I was going to do something similar to that. I was like, they're okay at podcasts.
That long
yeah. Well, I don't like being near the end of the line near Jeremy.
We'll go this way. We'll
Jeremy's
this way.
Just going to end up taking whatever I say.
We'll go anti-Wittershins.
All right. Well, then I'm not going to be ready.
Grumble. Loop.
What paints do you prefer for your models?
P3 and Coated Arms.
I like P3. I actually like some of the GW stuff. Very generic.
My current models, I'm spray painting.
So you like testers or...
I like whatever Katie puts in my models.
It's called, like, Shortcuts or something. I got it at the hobby store. It's supposed to be, like, for, like, hobby, like, little minis and stuff like that. It works really well.
You guys are weird.
Pootie.
Tang.
Pootie. All right.
Pootie Zappity.
Wow. Mark II Remix. Do you feel it's more urgent to tweak a few rules or to tweak a few models?
I don't think it really needs anything right now. Just maybe another.
Suck up. I'm just
No, I just don't think so.
I agree with Brian.
Rules. Couple of rules. No, I'm sorry. A couple models. That's all. Rules are fine.
If I had to choose between tweaking three rules or tweaking six models, I would tweak six models.
I'm going to actually go the other way. I would tweak the three rules.
I'm uninformed.
There you go.
Fair enough. Why is Gandalf such a fraud?
I don't like it going this way
anymore. You requested it.
I know, but only for the good ones.
That's a good question.
I don't care about Gandalf. I mean, he's just, you know.
Because he could have had the Eagles come and take the whole thing.
No, that's the Eagles. They're the big fraud about the whole thing.
No, because they just kind of do whatever he says.
Gandalf always calls him, and he's like, oh, we only go 20 feet. We'll walk the rest.
There is a great Ogloff that addresses why the Eagles don't take him all the way.
Because they get hungry on the way?
Yes. Like, they're flying, and Bilbo's like, why aren't we just taking the eagles the whole way? And in the background, you see an eagle just reach up, grab a dwarf, and start eating its face. And then Bilbo's like, oh, look at that, it's Land of Fucking Clock.
Fantastic. They should have had, like, one other companion in the books, and they have it happen.
Yeah.
The 14th dwarf. Yeah. All right. How do you keep your brushes clean?
Just by cleaning them. I mean, there's some soaps that you can use that you can get at a regular hobby store. That's different.
Brush after uses them, it's amazing. Look at my, I just throw mine away after every use. It's ruined after 5 minutes.
I keep them clean by not using them.
You can also make sure you just clean them. Make sure that the paint never gets up to the actual metal tip of the brush.
How do you keep the paint from the metal tip? You put it into the pot, and it's up to, like, the tip, and
so
it's already wasted.
You're not supposed to punch paint onto your miniatures.
I'll even go super slow, and it still just trips. I'll cough at the wrong time, and then another brush lost.
I just don't use brushes. I spray paint now.
That'll do it. Yeah. You already answered out of order, didn't you?
Grumble.
Best songs with no repetition, therefore no annoyance.
Best songs with no repetition? Instrumentals.
Isn't it called a chorus? Like, most songs
always have some type of chorus. Most songs have a chorus.
That's true.
I don't know.
Rumor has it I would pick...
Speaking of which, rumor has it Ogre was not at Pegasus on Friday. So when am I getting my goddamn Ogre?
Ogre, the director's cut edition, whatever, came out, and I'm Bored got it in stock, but Pegasus did not get theirs.
God fucking damn
it. I call Pegasus, like, oh, it's not here yet. I'm like, it's at your competition. It's like, oh, it's okay. I'm like, son of a bitch.
Yeah, that's not okay.
That was my conversation. And I hung up.
Why did I give you my money?
That was off topic, but...
A little bit, but I'll allow it.
They'll probably be there.
I'm
going to
go with Yellow Submarine. Yellow Submarine's my favorite.
It says so much repetition.
He's just trolling. Don't let the asshole troll you.
I'm going to go with Oh My Love.
All right. I'll allow it. How is it possible to misspell Gandalf considering Google exists? Because the guy previously spanned it Gandalf, by the way.
Nice.
Great. People are trolling each other.
It's the Zappity Grumbles.
I'm so proud of our listeners.
Pinning your models. When do you do it? How big or how small?
Always pin. If it looks like it's going to break in the future, fucking pin it, because it's going to break in the future. When you pin your models.
The only model I ever pinned, I used a roofing nail. Like, I pinned the fuck out of that guy.
I don't pin any of my one-piece models. The rest I just give to Andy, and then I come back pinned.
I pin the models I give Andy. I forgot to bring Eris over again. God damn it.
Ha ha. I'm not doing her.
Yeah, you are.
No.
You said you would.
ZG. No, I did not say I would.
Yeah. I'd do her.
Zappity.
Zappity.
Grumble.
Best four heroes to play in Sentinels of the Multiverse.
That's the other thing, though, too, is we don't play it enough.
All right.
Which is kind of cool, but that way you kind of explore. I have no real...
Do you have a favorite hero?
He likes Haka.
Haka is pretty cool, but I do like... I like Ra. Ra.
I like the female version of the Punisher. I forgot her name again.
Whatever.
I think it's Hawk, the one that I like. The one I like is basically
it's like
Batman.
The Raconteur or some verb thing like that. That's a word, and she's got all the guns and her action is to use all her guns.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, Katie.
Is it better to be skilled or lucky?
I love getting lucky.
I think we're
not going anti-Witter
anymore ever again.
Katie, is it better to be skilled or lucky?
I say skilled.
Lucky, it's less frustrating than being skilled and unlucky.
Skilled.
I like skilled with a little bit of luck.
I'm going to go lucky. It's always better to be lucky than good. All right, you're in a firefight, and you have to have Crump or Jeremy as your partner. Who do you pick?
Crump's never said hi to me before, so I'm going to pick Jeremy.
I'm going to go with Jeremy. He's slightly larger, so it would be a better human shield, which is the only worth either of them would have.
I'd pick Jeremy. He'd still fuck it up, but Crump would just complain the entire time and actually do anything, where Jeremy would at least try.
I would pick Jeremy, because Jeremy would show up for the battle.
I'm touched.
So I think Crump would be like, oh, what the hell's going on?
I would pick Crump, because otherwise I get no help.
Valid point.
Zavody.
And then literally the last question on our list is, did I miss this?
Yes.
Yeah, you did. We're done. Too late. Sorry.
We're done.
Yeah, you lose.
Hey, let's go through a round of recommendations.
So I have a couple board games that I don't think anybody grabs.
All right, I think that's it. Episode 49, are we calling it?
We're calling it.
World's longest episode?
Yeah. Maybe.
No, we didn't start till 7. It's only like 8:30.
It's 9.
It's 9 o'clock.
Yeah, it's 9.
Well, last time I looked at the phone, it said 8.
Yeah, that's time goes forward.
Yeah, that's how that works.
We're about an hour and 45 into this episode.
So, mind blown.
Thanks for listening to episode 49.
Please like us,
subscribe us to us on the tweet mails and other such annoying things. Insert Keith's spiel here.
Yeah, insert Keith's spiel here.
I'm not going to do that yet.
Okay.
We'll do it eventually.
And we'll have episode 50, which will be an all-star cast of special guests. Probably not.
Maybe not.
No, I'm just making shit up.
We might have Jennifer Connelly. I'm working on it.
Yeah.
Hey.
And Patrick, expect that.
And Patrick
so
Stewart.
So we've had a year to prepare it. Why isn't
Bill Pullman here?
Bill Pullman on this podcast?
We got to kickstart that shit.
We're like the least organized people ever, Andy.
I guess
we have Jeremy in charge of our PR.
Clusterfuckapalooza happened.
It did happen.
I'm going to have that till the day I die.
No one was more shocked than I.
61 minutes to get on Kickstarter, so you better hurry.
The best part was Brian came to us. He was like, if this fails, it's not going to be because of us guys. We've got to go.
We're going to be there, goddamn. We're going to support him.
And I appreciate it.
When he complains about this failing, we're not going to be the ones he's complaining about. All
right. Cool. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.
I got to go watch Day of the Doctor.
See you guys next week.
So good.
Tonight.
Yep. Enjoy your Thanksgiving.